The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is PFW in Progress.
It's a Mega Bowl. What's not to understand? This is history in the making. You're going to want to tell your grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids. And when they look back in the annals of history, they're going to be talking about three things: discovery of fire, invention of the submarine, and Mega Bowl.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I mean, you can just think of me as Bambi's mother. I make sure nothing bad happened to you.
Bambi's mother got shot, right?
Yeah, first scene.
I remember that. The credits were still rolling and everything.
Paul Perillo.
The crowd is really excited tonight.
They know what's at stake, Dick.
Yep.
Now I'm talking about free corn dogs.
Oh, that's right. It's free corn dog night.
And Andy. And Andy?
Here they come, the Flint Tropics Ball Girls cheerleading squad, keeping the crowd energized through the timeout.
They just got such big,
what?
Hearts.
Yes.
Big, bouncy, jiggly hearts.
Well, hearts don't really bounce, so now I think you're talking about something else.
Andy Hart.
But I like breasts.
Eric Scalavino.
The great question. Tomorrow, after the game, I will wrestle a bear.
You're not going to want to miss this, folks. And if you're a small child, you creep into your mama's bedroom at night and you lift about $40 out of your mom's purse.
No. For now, anyway.
Dewey's insane. He can rip my head off.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Dewey? Ah! Everybody panic! Oh, my God, there's a bear loose in the Coliseum!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I'm a little off. 11 o'clock is a little early for me.
You've always been a little off.
So I'm trying to deal with some stupid... I'm mad at Apple right now.
Oh, why?
Their process for submitting apps and getting certificates, it's just the most ridiculous, confusing thing. It's like they put all their effort into the user interface for... you know, uses, which is good. But then when it comes to, like, developers on the back end, it's like they're back in the 1990s. I don't know why they can't put the same effort into process in the, you know, so I'm mad at them.
Maybe you should come up with an app to make the app application process
I don't know.
Better.
I'm just dealing with that right now, so it's a real distraction.
Why, do we have a new app?
Well, we're trying to submit the new Game Day app for fans.
Oh, the crap.
The what?
Isn't this the one that's going to monitor the bathroom lines?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a crap.
Yeah. So we're trying to get that submitted into the Apple Store. And
now, how does the logarithm take into account urinators versus poopers?
It all does that. Yeah.
Because, like, what if everybody eats, like, a chili cheese dog at a certain same time
and
all
of
a sudden, boom?
Well, I think the chances of that happening are very
low. How do you calculate people with digestive systems like his as opposed to normal people?
Right. What if there's, like, an IBS group that bought 500 tickets?
Well, I think if that happens, then we're all up, you know what, creek.
No.
I don't think any app will help you with that situation. All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Why is mine so
We're here
so
a little early because of training camp practice immediately afterwards, so guys need to get out there. Figured give them a little extra time to do that. 11:01, we hope you aren't inconvenienced too much by this. If you missed it, you can always hear the replay. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, webradio@patriots.com. Yesterday was a big day over here at Gillette Stadium. Teddy Bruschi's induction ceremony, along with Gil Santos as a contributor. Beautiful day, huge crowd.
Yeah,
huge
biggest one I think I've seen.
Oh, easily.
Even bigger than the Bledsoe one.
Easily.
He is the most popular.
Yeah. These things really are huge.
No doubt.
And I also think doing it right before the open practice, so all the season ticket holders that were planning to come anyway were here, plus... Mm-hmm. Foxborough residents. Mm-hmm. It was a nice event. Started at 5. I think it's still going. Teddy's talking. But he was great.
Phenomenal.
He's really a motivational speaker, huh?
Yes. Gets you feel it. Like he was almost preaching.
Yeah.
You know.
I also thought
give a round of applause for Ron Santos.
He gets the spirit.
Oh yeah.
I thought Gil was at his absolute best. I really did. I thought that his speech really delivered. It was concise. Good mix of poignancy and humor, mm-hmm. and he delivered it great.
Thank you, Robert.
Eric, but you know, it's okay.
He did an excellent job. So that was good, and then that was followed by the open practice inside the bowl, full pads, and not a good night for the offense.
No, a lot of balls hitting the turf. Hey, speaking of Teddy Bruschi,
he's
live outside
already.
On the practice field.
At Gillette Stadium.
Training day. Whoa.
Hannah's here today?
Paul's going to have to go see Hannah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
So,
going to storm the set, Paul?
But getting back to the practice, as Andy said, a lot of balls on the ground for the offense. Fells had a nice catch. Dobson had a nice catch. But overall, no matter who the quarterback was and who the receiver was, things did not look good. Now,
it was a little reminiscent of the spring.
Could that be because the defense was playing well? I don't know. Tlaib looked really good.
Some were like bounce off chest type balls.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Like Kenbrell Tompkins had two bad drops, one on a slant that just flat out literally bounced off his chest.
Yeah.
There was some bad late. They ended with a couple of picks. Now, the Brady pick, I thought, was a nice play by Tlaib. I mean, it was right along the sideline. He just cut in front for what would have been a pick six, you know, 35, 40-yard touchdown in a game. After that, Harmon had a pick on an overthrow from Mallett. That was, you can't make that throw. When you have a sort of a deep safety, you can't lead him to the point where the safety is almost becomes the intended receiver. So there were different types of incompletions. Some, I think, forced by the defense, but there were a bunch that were just poor plays by the offense.
They also broke off and did some more tackling drills, which is nice to see.
Fred Nerick.
This is Fred's commentary. You know, he thinks that
Kelly's
going to be a miserable failure because he's already said he won't tackle at all in training camp.
You know, I think that, you know, I know the CBA limits the amount of padded practices you can have, not only during training camp, but also during the season. And the jury's out. I mean, obviously, there's not enough data to see yet, but we could find that, you know, yes, it decreases injuries during practice, but it might increase during games because guys just aren't in contact shape. I don't know. I just don't see how you get into shape for football tackling if you don't tackle in practice.
Do you think under Belichick, I'm not going back years, but do you think the Patriots have noticeably tackled less in training camp?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
The 14 years that he's been here, I don't ever really remember.
But I do remember
more than a handful of plays here and there that guys actually get tackled.
Yeah, I would actually say this year is more.
Yeah, I do remember though. Goal line was real goal line.
Oh yeah,
like there was no standing.
Well, that goal line was real goal line the other day.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
the play that Ridley fumbled.
Yeah.
Four plays live. Yeah. That's all the goal line ever. Yeah.
But I agree.
Now
with
we didn't have the Ted Johnson dive over the pile, but that's because those plays didn't happen.
Right.
The plays were full contact.
But there's
plays.
There's not even basic tackling worked on ever.
Well, I mean that whole special teams drill is a tackling drill, and to me they've brought to the ground almost I think at borderline a lot of diving at ankles, rolling up ankles that I think can lead to ankle and knee injuries out of those, and they've done a long segment broken into two groups of that open field tackling every day.
They did that yesterday and the day before.
Yeah, every day they've done it, and they've added a lot of new wrinkles to it. You know, that's the drill that has basically ignited this whole Tebow catching passes in New England talk, even though he hasn't. It's just taking part in a special teams tackling drill. I actually think in that area they've done more of that tackling.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like it.
What do you think of shades on TV?
Yeah,
it depends who's wearing them, and in this case, I don't like them.
I don't think people on TV should wear sunglasses. You got to see their eyes.
I agree,
especially shady guy like
Sal Palantonio's on Ace. NFL.
He
Network.
Could actually run in the door and start yelling at us.
They're showing a bunch of stuff from Patriots camp right now, showing Tim Tebow. Tebow looked as bad as he has last night.
We should wire you up for Tebow because you get so exasperated.
He had one good pass out of 20.
It was a great pass.
Yeah, and it was a good pass.
And it was dropped.
Yeah. It was a real nice pass right down the middle.
But it was so, Fred's right. It was so infrequent. I actually said, well, that was a good pass. And Fred thought I was being sarcastic. And he goes, it was. And I'm like, no,
said, yes.
I just said it was.
I'm
it
defending
was a great,
Tim Tebow.
It was a great pass.
Paul and I were joking because we heard right a reporter or a cameraman, I don't know who he was, saying, yeah, I heard the other night he held onto the ball for 12 seconds. It's almost like legendary how bad he's
been. It's morphed
into
one of those legends. Yeah. Like, you know,
and it's going to get worse than he actually was.
There was this guy in the 50s. He could hit the ball 500 feet. You know, I heard the other night he held the ball for 12
seconds
on one play.
He didn't even throw it spiral. He would throw it sideways. It's going
to
get that ridiculous.
Go to bat with an oak tree, you know.
But it's been that bad, really.
I still can't remember who said that a couple days ago. That, you know, do you think that maybe he's really a righty?
No.
He did get some run as a scout team personal protector on the punt team. So.
Yep. So they're slowly easing him into those other roles.
Which is good, because the role he's in, he's not doing it.
I know.
Well, all right. Although I would have to say, you know, there was a lot of talk on EEI this morning about the wide receiver. You know, they've just realized today that it's very young and inexperienced. You know, I literally walked into the building, and I won't say who it is. It's somebody that doesn't work in our department, but that we fool around a lot with. He walks in, he goes, yeah, I didn't realize how young these wide receivers are, you know, because he had just listened to the same thing. And I'm kind of like rolling my eyes. It's like, that's the story.
Freddie, they're obviously not listening to PFW.
I was going
to
say, did you tell them that you're obviously not reading the paper?
Yeah. So it's no news here, but I think on the bright side of that, I think Dobson, you know, we talked about he could be a guy who steps in right away, and he shows signs that he can.
I think he has been arguably the most impressive player to start camp through 4 days, and that's a phenomenal sign.
Mm. Well, no, I mean, Amendola, obviously, I think I still put above him.
Well, I think what Andy means, though, is like you he's a rookie,
yes.
First of all, and he's doing what he's doing, which I think for a guy like Amendola, you kind of give him the benefit of the doubt that he's been in the league a few years.
Well, you expect it more.
You expect it more.
Right.
Whereas Dobson,
right.
That position, the history that they've had there, the fact that he's a rookie, I'll add that all up, and I think Andy's right.
But also the plays.
Impressive.
I mean,
and he's made plays.
He's
right.
Covered by Aqib Talib. Brady throws it up. He outjumps Aqib Talib to come down for the reception. I mean, that.
Right.
I would put him ahead of Amendola as what I've seen over 4 days. I think Amendola is obviously going to catch more passes and probably going to be a centerpiece core guy in this offense. But I'm just talking about, and maybe expectations is part of it because I saw a lot from Amendola in the spring. I knew already, okay, he's pretty good. He's got more bursts.
Yeah.
Dobson has come in and,
well,
and
I'm
been
just
very
talking
impressive.
About, you know, where is the production going to come from? And it looks like some of that might be Dobson right off
oh,
the bat.
Oh, sure.
You
know?
Well, yeah.
At this point,
now
yeah.
We got to pump the brakes. It's 4 days in.
Yeah, yeah.
Three with pads. And
you know, now Gronkowski's look good walking around.
he'll be fine.
Yeah.
We should mention
somebody again going back to talk radio this morning. Somebody said, you know, and there's a chance Gronkowski doesn't play at all this year. And yes, somebody said agreed. Yes, that could be the case. So have we heard whispers
well,
of that?
No, I haven't heard that, but yeah, I would be surprised if he doesn't play at all.
If we want to go Fred Paul semantics, yeah, no, I suppose there's a chance.
There's also a chance Brady doesn't play at all this year.
Right, he suffers a setback.
Until he starts playing, he could get hurt anytime
exactly.
Between now and then.
Nothing that we've read, heard, seen would indicate that
right.
He's not going to play at some
I'd
point
be stunned.
I would be
now,
really stunned.
I would.
You
be
could
too.
Argue to me, oh, he's going to come back in October and a game in, something could happen and he only plays like two games. Oh, that is more plausible, but I don't see him not stepping on the field.
The Patriots felt the need to issue a statement
that was
yesterday
surprising.
Evening about Armin Armstead that he had surgery to fix an infection and everything went well. No update to a timetable of return.
Yep.
I thought that was curious that they felt the need to issue that statement. You know, usually they don't.
Well,
what
can we infer from the three sentences we got? Anybody who has any medical background, what types of infections require surgeries? I mean, can we infer that this has something to do with the heart or no?
Oh, I don't think we can infer that. And Belichick
I know
said no.
Well, I know
so.
he said it's something different. So I'm hoping that it's not.
Well, I've heard a couple things. One, that they really couldn't say anything more than that, and that they issued the statement, and it could have been on as a favor to the family, that the family was getting a lot of questions and everything.
Well, because of the heart, you mean? And
yeah.
tell everybody this isn't the heart. The
right.
heart is fine.
Right.
This is a separate issue.
Right.
That could be. I immediately jumped to, you know, as I am a bit of a pessimist, we've now had two guys with strange infections in the last 6 months. Are we going down the road of some
Steph?
Yeah.
Thing?
Remember Cleveland when they had
Browns.
That rash of infections?
Oh, that's the first thing I thought
first
was
thing
staff.
I thought of, too.
MRSA, so, you know, some kind of staff infection.
Do we need bleach to go through the locker room?
Yeah.
And we were actually, I don't know about you guys, I don't really remember when we had issues with that. Do you? But I read a huge feature on the Cleveland thing, and it mentioned the Patriots as another team that had
infected them.
had incidents with it in the past.
I don't remember. I
didn't remember.
And this was an old feature. This isn't Gronk related.
It could have happened, and we just didn't know about
right.
it.
Right. But that's the first thing I thought of as sort of a negative outlook on it. Could we have some weird thing going around or in the locker room or whatever? And that's not good.
Well, you know, in when Belichick first made the comment, I think it was on Sunday, that it's not related to his past problems. And I think some people immediately said, oh, well, that's good. And I was, well, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. You know, it might be something that's serious but not heart-related. And I think this is serious. I mean, do I think it's career-threatening? Probably not. But, you know, for him to play this year, you know, if he had, let's just say it's a staph infection, something like Gronkowski had to deal with his arm. And, you know, it's weeks before it's cleared out, and they know that he can come back and play. His season's in jeopardy, well, if that's the case.
I mean, here's the here again, we get into that dangerous territory of trying to speculate on surgeries and injuries. When I was in college, I had an infection on my toe that was literally so bad, if the sheets of my bed touched my toe, I would be in agony. So when I got back to home, they had to have surgery on my toe. They literally cut the top of my toe off to get rid of this stuff. Now, I was fine after that. You know, it just heals up and you're fine. But that's surgery for an infection.
Right.
You know, so there's all kinds of, it could be, we don't know if it's blood, you know, if it's in an organ. We don't know if it's something like I had.
And
we have no idea, so it's dangerous to start speculating.
Well, the only
and unlike you, I consider surgery any cut they make. You know how you were saying, like, well, luckily Gronk didn't have to get cut open. To me, any surgery where they cut a hole in me, even if it's a little one, is surgery. Mm. And, I mean, that could be as simple as that, a flushing, some sort of arthroscopic flushing of an area to clean out whatever's going on.
I'm just surprised that they took the step of actually making an announcement about it.
Well, because, that's the curious thing.
Yeah.
Because, to me, it's the timing. I thought it was weird on a Monday night at about 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
9:30 or so after a practice. Why not maybe wait till today?
Maybe during the they were getting so many calls. Where's Armin? I don't know. And the family asked them to do that.
It just seems so out of character for this team.
They don't do that
unsolicited. Make an announcement about a player's injury or illness in this.
You know, unless they realize that, you know, today everyone's going to be asking about it. Well, let's just get it out of the way.
See, I think that the procedure probably happened. And they figured they're going to know about it. They're going to find out about it today. Because, what? I mean, people already asked about it. Mike Reese asked Belichick about it on Sunday.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, how come they don't do that for every player that goes under the knife? I mean, plenty of reporters break stories about why a player is
not
there.
I think it's a little different when you're
dealing
with
And it's not Tom Brady. This is Armin Armstead.
Yeah, I think it's a little different when you're dealing with, you know, when I say health, I'm saying something that's not an injury, per se. I think it's a little different. I'm surprised that they put out a statement. Absolutely, I agree with you guys. But really surprised with the timing. You know, it's like 9:30 on a Monday night. I just thought, why not just wait till today and send out that statement this morning, you know, while everybody's awake.
And there's no Bill Belichick press conference today.
No.
So no one will be able to ask about it today.
Or tomorrow, because there's no practice tomorrow.
As of right now, and I guess there's no practice or media availability tomorrow. So
correct.
I don't know. That could all weigh into why they felt the need to do it. I don't know.
But, yeah, there could be. You know. Maybe they figured they didn't want to have Bill be available.
But it's disappointing because, you know, there's going to be some type of recovery period. And this guy needed every rep he could get because he's never been here before.
Yeah.
So it's too bad.
And I guess we have to assume that he didn't have it in the spring, or maybe it was...
Well, he was out there right away, and then he left.
He was out there all spring.
That's what I mean, that he didn't have it in the spring, and that...
He didn't miss any of the times that we were out there in the spring. How many times did we have access?
Maybe like five or six times.
Yeah. He didn't miss any of the ones that the media was on hand for.
Right. So either he had it and it wasn't a problem, or he developed it since camp, mini camp ended. And
but some of these, I mean,
those water
they start
parks.
Have
you heard about that?
Yes.
No.
What'd you hear about a water park?
This,
I go to those
this
a lot.
Young girl got an amoeba infection. It's
through
a bacteria
her nose.
Through her nose. It's the only way you can get it through your nose. So they're telling people now, your kids, when they go to water parks, either put the nose clip
so
on.
So double barrel to all you that make fun of me for blocking my nose when I jump in the pool.
Or cut, you know, pinch their nose when they jump in.
See.
Or do what I do and just don't breathe in through your nose. But I guess this is so rare, 99%, it's 99% fatal.
Right. And they put her in an
of all the cases... What? Over the years, only three people have ever recovered from this thing. It's very rare, though. I think, what, 50 people got it last year or something?
Yeah, it's rare, but
it's...
A brain-eating amoeba doesn't sound
cool. It's pretty much fatal.
And but the place was a little weird, too. It was a... It's a water park on a sand-bottom pond.
On a lake, yeah.
And now they're saying they may reopen... They're gonna put a bottom on the pond, which I don't know how they're gonna afford to do that. They're gonna put like a concrete bottom, and sounds like a lot of work.
So the water's not clean.
Well, it's fresh water.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not like a chlorinated pool.
Right. I think it's like
there's
pond
no chemicals
water.
In it. It's not treated.
Right. It sounds kind of what. It
All
is.
Right. Well, that's a little different.
That's different.
I'm thinking like it's.
Yeah.
It was a little different than you know, like
water
your nose,
country.
Like,
yeah.
You know,
chlorine.
Gonna talk to Ryan Mallett about it.
Yeah, it had no chlorine in it or anything like that.
All right. Well, that's a little different then.
But I mean. I've gone for a swim in a river, in a stream, in a lake, in a pond. I mean, to think that something's going to crawl up your nose and eat your brain is kind
of
gross.
That's like out of Star Trek.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I want to add one more injury-related factoid, and this is reportedly, I believe, the Boston Herald. Corey Grissom hasn't been out there. Herald says concussion. We haven't seen him at all. Well, I think we might have seen him last night.
We did see him last
night.
Yeah,
we saw him, but he wasn't in pads.
He wasn't dressed.
Right.
Yeah.
But are we sure that it was him? There was a guy that was out there that we didn't know who he was.
I'm pretty
sure
it was him.
We just kind of, by process of elimination, assumed it may be Corey Grissom, a guy that really none of us has ever met.
And he was standing with the D-lineman.
Yeah.
He was
a big, fat black guy standing with the D-lineman.
According to the Boston Herald,
fits his M.O.
he's dealing with a concussion. So
how did he get concussed?
Well, yeah, that's my question.
They practiced for a week, don't forget. Before camp.
Oh, yeah, that's what. Yeah. That's true. Good point.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. If you're on Twitter, you might have heard that Mark Bertrand is going to be hosting the pre and post game.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
He's been excited about it. We're excited about it, too. So that'll be a good add to the show. Plus, there was a press release that went out today about the preseason games, the new format. But once again, Matt, No Sox used that we want a radio talk show type of thing. No, it's not going to be that. Radio talk show is...
Shouldn't you have said this before the release went out?
Why does he keep telling the guy who has the idea what it is?
Well, but...
In Matt's defense, it's Matt's idea, and Fred's telling him what it's supposed to be.
But no, but we're not going to have people calling in or, you know, during the show.
He didn't say it's a call-in show. He said it's a talk show.
When I hear radio talk show, that's what I think of, and... Whether I know it's not going to be that, but I don't want other people to think that too.
Well, you should have expressed this before the release went out.
So
correct.
Anyway, so if you did read the release, we aren't going to have callers, but what we are going to have is Paul and Andy in a studio interacting with the live broadcasters, giving their take on certain things, and once in a while, if there is something on social media, they might mention it.
What my. We're basically bringing the day-to-day coverage of the team to the broadcast because most of those guys aren't here day-to-day. Dan Roach a little bit, but they are not at every Belichick press conference and practice and media availability. So the theory is to bring the background information of the week to the broadcast.
And now, you know, whereas in the past fourth quarter some unknown does something, now there can be a little context. Well, who is this guy?
Right.
Does he have a shot at making the team?
Kenbrell Tompkins. If he struggles with some ball security, well, you know, the Monday night practice in the stadium, he muffed one punt and had two balls bounce off his chest. Clearly, this looks like it's starting to become a ball security issue for a guy that they supposedly like a little bit and had aspirations of making the roster. Boom, we're done. We're out. Peace.
Right.
Peace.
Right.
And you can duplicate that with any positional group. We're going to be talking about what we see based on what's happening in the game. And you're still going to get the game.
Right.
You're not going to miss plays, especially...
That's the other thing.
Especially early in the game when Tom Brady and the ones are out there, you're going to be covering it more or less straight.
You know, because I
you
heard a lot
You may actually get more of the game because they won't go and focus on Brady on the sideline for 10 minutes in the fourth quarter and talk about his Under Armour ad.
Right, because they don't know what's going on.
Right.
Drawing
penises on Patriot Place.
I did see some, you know, comments about, well, you know, I just want the down and distance. Well, you're going to get that.
Right.
You're going to get all the play-by-play you got before without the stupid idle banter.
Right.
You're going to get productive, insightful banter.
Idle banter.
And well, Dan Roach is the one with a little pressure on him to do what you're saying. He needs to be the traffic cop and keep everything organized while keeping the game rolling and the information.
So it's Roach and Fourier doing color? Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Play-by-play is Dan Roach. Color man is Christian Fourier.
Burton and Chatham.
Matt Chatham will be the sideline guy. Andy and I will be in our studio that we're in right now, providing
That's
the insight.
That's what I keep hearing. Is something changing here? It's kind of still ugly.
I thought they were supposed to do something with the studio.
They're supposed to get the furniture in here and the big touchscreen.
What are we waiting for? Well, the big
touchscreen wheels in.
The big touchscreen is highly in doubt.
Really? Ground, yeah. You were supposed to look into that.
Am I? I'm supposed to know about it?
I told you about it.
I know, but were you supposed to?
Yes. When I told you, Matt told me to tell Fred.
I know, but were you supposed...
What?
Wait, what?
You need to throw your weight around, your
Frank
considerable
Beamer.
Weight around.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eddie's in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's me again. I haven't called in a few months.
What's up, Eddie?
Hey, not much. I had to call you guys today because I was listening to Sports Talk here in D.C., and... You know, they brought up that name, Kimbrel Tompkins. Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, what do you guys think about him? I mean, you know, for them to have mentioned his name, that he might be a player to watch.
Well, remember, you know, at this point, remember the guy with the high fro?
Underwood.
He came in and caught half the passes thrown to him. That's about where this guy is right now, right?
Okay. Well, but the difference is Tompkins is an undrafted rookie at the very start of his career that they are now giving reps to. Pretty high on the depth chart early in camp. Mike Reese, you know, has sort of said that they're high on him and put him, he had him on his initial roster projection of making the 53-man roster before he even stepped on the practice field. He's a bigger receiver, looks like he might have some ability down the field, has a strange history with some early arrests when he was very, very young and then sort of bounced around from, he started at community college, signed with Lane Kiffin at Tennessee, Kiffin left, signed with Oklahoma, never played at Oklahoma, transferred, ended up at Cincinnati where he was productive. So he's kind of got a circuitous route to the NFL, but physically they seem to like what he offers.
Okay.
And they gave him an 85, so there's,
So he's got no chance.
Freddie, I also think that he's done better with his opportunities than Tyquan Underwood did. And, you know, I know exactly
I would have said that
about.
Until last night.
With Ty, I mean, he caught, it did seem like he was a 50% guy.
Right.
And you're right, Andy. Last night he struggled, but I think that he's done a better job with his opportunities the first 3 days anyway.
Sure.
Than Tyquan Underwood did.
But he is certainly a guy to keep an eye on, as they all are, because A, there's a lot of roles to be won right now. And B, I still believe that you're probably going to see, I don't know, 8 guys at receiver this year at some point. You know, Amendola gets hurt or Boyce makes it and then they realize, yeah, he's not really, you know, I think you're going to see a few guys after the season starts that at some point come in and are asked to contribute.
You got to figure that, I mean, what is there? There's 6 rookies, right?
6 of 12 are rookies. So 9 of 12 are newcomers.
They're going to end up. I would say that there's a good chance that you might see some of these guys on the practice squad, as you know, as well as the active roster. And Andy is right; they're going to rotate through. When there's guys that aren't available, you're going to be looking for a guy. Kamar Aiken's another one who has a little experience here because he was here last year too. You know, he's gotten some chances. The 2 rookie draft picks have gotten some chances. Boyce looks like he's coming on a little bit after a slow start.
Yep. He's shown the speed. Now he's got to show the rest of being a receiver.
The best part of that, though, is like, you know, Tompkins has faded after a hot start.
Right.
And that's
it's 4
practice
days.
4.
It's right. 4
Boyce
days.
Has come on after a slow start. That's practice 4. Like, we got to remember, it seems like we've been watching a lot, but it's 4 days.
And that's what we're talking about. Like the training camp podcast that the 3 of us do every day sort of magnifies it on that day. You know, it's like... Mm-hmm. You know, you can be, you know, who's hot one day and who's not the next. And Tompkins would have been a candidate for each side of that.
Sure.
Alfonso Dennard was.
Sure,
you know,
he was
my sell on the first day, and he was our buy on the second day. You know, that's it changes quick.
Day trading.
All right, Eddie. Thanks for the call.
All right, guys. Thanks. All right.
All right. That's why we do it as the stock watch. Buy and sell. Every day. Buy low, sell high. Sell high, low, you know, everything.
Our next caller is...
Be low, sells high.
Our next caller is calling himself Fred Kirsch's alter ego.
Yo, man, this is Fred Kirsch, man. Fred Kirsch's alter ego, man.
Okay, what does that mean?
It's like I'm Fred, man, but I'm like a little bit cooler and a lot smoggier, man.
Okay.
And pretty high, dude.
Nah, dude, I have a question about blunts, man. Tell me about LeGarrette Blount. Is he a running back potential, man?
Okay, thanks for the call.
I haven't seen much from him.
But I think they know what they've gotten him, so they don't need to see it at this point.
No, I mean, he's going to get his chance, obviously, in preseason action, and you'll see the – I mean, he's a power runner, so he needs
contact. We saw him in the goal line. He had two carries in the goal line. He got in on both of them. But, he's not a threat in the passing game.
No.
Has bad hands.
It's a threat to the offense in the passing game.
Yeah. Ball security's been an issue with him in the past. I think he's going to end up making the football team, but yeah. I'm not sure he has a huge role on it without injuries. Now, if Ridley continues to have this...
You all right?
I'm going in and out of my head.
Sound fine over here.
If Ridley continues to have trouble holding on to the ball like he did on Sunday at camp, you know, maybe that opens the door for a little bit more. I still think Vereen's the guy. I think Vereen is the key to that backfield. I think he's the one that can do the most things well. And... I think he's the key to that whole thing.
We should also mention that Bolden did not practice last night. He missed all of the spring with a reported ankle injury. He had been out there to start camp, but he wasn't out there last night. That obviously plays a factor in there, the health of those guys. Not a ton of depth there. I mean, there's a chance they all make it. I mean, there's a chance they're not vying for jobs that they could all five could make it.
Because you go in,
I think
you think
there's a chance.
Depth when you start, and now, like you said, Bolden's out.
Depth in July is not depth in September.
Ridley had two fumbles, so now you're wondering about him.
I don't think anybody really thinks Leon Washington, and I think there's a chance he's a contributor out of the backfield beyond just the return game.
Yep. But I think there's a good chance that all five of those guys end up making the team.
I don't know, though.
Not with Jimmy Devlin coming on at fullback.
Every year we say, how can they have five, and then they end up using them. So.
It's a tough position to play.
Yeah. Now,
especially if you have a guy that fumbles who could end up in the doghouse and on the bench at any point.
Yeah, I personally would make a decision between Bolden and Blount.
And what would that be?
I would let it play out. I mean, if Bolden's not available, then I would go with
Blount. No, but theoretically, which do you think you'd lean toward?
The young guy.
You would?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Really?
I haven't seen that much from Blount.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bolden offers more upside there. I thought there were flashes last season.
He's got a puncher's chance, but...
I thought there were flashes last season that Bolden looked like he belonged, and I would see that through. If I had to make a choice. And I think that they would be better off with four. I think you can always get a running back. I think there's always guys that become available during the season that you can pick up and plug in if depth becomes that much of an issue. And I also think that they don't... The way they operate, I suppose they were lucky last year. I mean, Ridley was really durable.
Mm-hmm.
And I say lucky not because it's a fluke, but running backs get broken down. I mean, that's just a fact of NFL life. Generally, if you get a guy that has 300 carries, he's probably going to miss a game at some point. And that didn't happen with Ridley last year. So
it would have had they started to kept playing. After he got knocked out. I don't know why, but after he got knocked out. Shut the...
It was just funny.
Front door?
Webradio at Patriots.com. Pat's in New Hampshire. Been on vacation for a couple weeks. Come back to listen to the past shows and get blah, blah, below on two of them. What the F?
What the F?
Sorry.
You guys have been saying Adrian Wilson was brought off the field last year in obvious throwdowns because he can't cover anymore, but he can still cover tight ends. Could he be in on nickel and dime and cover the tight end on throwing downs?
He could be. But as I said, my worst play of training camp so far was when a limping Jake Ballard blew by Adrian Wilson to get wide open and then dropped the football. I thought both guys failed miserably on the play. And if he can't cover Jake Ballard, then he can't cover tight ends. Because Jake Ballard right now is a one-and-a-half-legged man.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not an expert on what Adrian Wilson did with the Cardinals last year for everything. I know that he came off the field in coverage, but it wasn't necessarily like tight ends. Or when you come off the field for coverage, safeties cover tight ends. That's what they do. It wasn't like they were asking him to cover, you know, Calvin Johnson.
Well, I can tell you that he covered Rob Gronkowski a lot in week two.
And not well.
No. And maybe that's why later in the year he wasn't covering tight
ends.
And
I should say, in defense,
but
there,
it was Gronk
no one covers Gronkowski well. So I don't want to make
there are faster tight ends than Gronk. I mean, athletically, speed-wise, you're going to face a lot of guys that are similar to Gronk. His size, hands, and everything else sets him apart.
I've been a little skeptical. I'm not sure that Adrian Wilson is going to be this huge impact guy on that defense that a lot of people have sort of painted.
And we've seen a lot of different movement there so far.
Yep.
You know, we've seen him with McCourty, him on the opposite field with Gregory, with Wilson with McCourty. You know, Gregory. Certainty is it seems to be McCourty.
McCourty
and then
the corners.
The corners, Tlaib.
But
and
even
Dennard.
The Tlaib and Dennard, they're rotating there, probably in hope in case they don't have Dennard.
Right. Dennard and Arrington.
Tlaib
has been the constant. McCourty's been the constant.
Right.
31 and 32, penciling them in.
Yeah.
Well, that said, with the changes they've made there, are they better at safety than they were last year?
Sure.
I think they are.
On paper right now, yeah.
I think they are.
I mean, you have Gregory back. You have Wilson with experience.
Right.
You brought in a big body who I don't know if he can play, but he looks like a strong safety in the NFL, Adrian Wilson.
If Tavon Wilson makes a jump, I think you're better. Otherwise, I think that you're really status quo. I don't think Adrian Wilson's any better than Patrick Chung at this stage of his career.
Pat and Agawam Mask, good afternoon.
Wilson, huh? I absolutely love him. And if you remember, he was one of my sort of diamond in the rough underrated guys several years ago.
Well, he has been because he played in Arizona.
I think that he is he's a borderline Hall of Famer.
He's
had a great career. I am not anti. And plus, I've talked to him a couple of times. He's a really engaging guy He's huge. I just don't think that he can play anymore on a full-time basis playing in space and coverage and do some of those things. I'm skeptical, that's all. And if he can't, well, then you're back. I mean, look, you have.
I mean, have you seen that though? In 4 days,
he's looked a little bit behind to me. I mean, not a ton. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, I've just seen flashes where, like I said, the
Ballard play. You're right. I'm probably being a little bit too much with what happened in Arizona.
And don't you think? I mean, he's a big safety, so there's going to be some bang, and it's going to kind of play itself out.
He's one of those guys that's going to look better when they're tackling guys. Yeah, I get it. But if you have Gregory and McCourty, that's what you had last year. You could make the argument that tandem will be better full time together.
Mm-hmm.
You can make that argument, and I think Tavon Wilson. I'm high on Tavon Wilson. I think that he looks like he should be a good player.
Oh, there's no doubt. He looks the part of a modern day NFL strong safety, athletic, former corner, coverage skills, size, speed. The only problem is we've never seen it on the field. We've never really seen him do stuff where you go, okay, he's good.
You know, so I think that you can say that like the natural progression will make you better.
Year two,
but
jump.
Personnel, man for man, you've replaced Patrick Chung with Adrian Wilson, and
I'm okay
maybe
with
that maybe
yeah,
that works.
I am too.
But I don't think that makes you discernibly better.
I think McCourty more settled in the role.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said the natural progression argument.
Nate Ebner.
Non-factor
is right.
Pat says, good afternoon, crew. I've been engrossed with the training camp coverage thus far, thanks to Patriots.com.
You're welcome. Thank you for reading, listening, and watching.
I'm also anxiously anticipating Paul and Andy working with the new broadcast team for the preseason. Does this mean they're going to be getting raises, Fred? Actually, they get less. Just a quick question for you guys this week. Of all the receivers, tight ends included, is there any one of the guys besides Danny Amendola who's really passed the eyeball test this early in camp? I value all your opinions, so I'd like to hear from all of you. Keep up the great coverage. That's all I've got.
Well, I would put Dobson in there.
Yeah.
I'd put Big Smooth in there.
He's the obvious one.
He's Daniel Fells, in case anyone knows.
Yeah.
I think he's had a very solid camp. All of those guys have had a very, Hooman has had a very solid camp.
Yeah, Hooman's
he's
been
looked
good.
Solid. Now, the problem is him being good is still nowhere near Hernandez or Gronkowski. So they're going to they can do their best and it'll be pretty good, but it's going to still pale in comparison.
You said something at camp the other day, Fred, about Hooman. Something like 40 catches, 5 touchdowns or something like that.
Right.
Which would be fantastic if he's a complimentary part.
Right.
But if he is like your highest productive tight end at that, and beyond Amendola and Dobson, you don't really have any wide receivers that, now that's a problem.
I think when it comes to
you're used to a lot more
when it comes to tight ends and receivers, I think this early in camp, I have four guys I would say are locks to make the team. I think it's Amendola, Dobson, Fells, and Hooman.
Yeah.
Those are the four that automatic. Everyone else is fighting for a spot.
Certainly feels like it.
And I think those are your four starters right now.
Right. I think so, as of right now.
Because I don't see them doing a lot of three wide receiver sets. I see mostly two and two. And my two tight ends would be those guys, Fells and Hooman.
Right.
Now Zach Zudfeld could make the team. He's
from Syracuse.
His reps have gone down a little the last couple days.
I haven't seen a ton from him in the last couple days.
He's virtually disappeared from what he did in the spring.
Yeah. So.
And Jake Ballard.
Yeah. I've seen enough.
He is admitting he may never be the same, and it doesn't feel quite right in the knee and all that.
I've seen enough.
So, but those four, I think, as of right now, they're on the team. Everyone else is fighting.
And there's also.
But now Boyce, again, has shown some speed. So obviously, if I'm a coach, I want to keep this.
Well,
guy.
Boyce is going to be on the
somehow.
Field.
He's
if
not
he doesn't
going anywhere, yeah. whether it's active roster or.
Right.
At the very least, he'll be your home run hitter. He'll be the guy who comes in every once in a while and runs deep balls, things of that nature. The guy who's a major question at this point would be Jenkins, a guy that I think a lot of people had penciled in as kind of making the team. Under theory, when he came here as the sure-handed veteran, and he's a veteran.
Right.
He's not sure-handed.
Right. I think he's in a fight.
We had access yesterday to the coaches, and some of that is available on Patriots.com in various forms. I talked a long time to Josh McDaniels, and I thought he was very open, basically saying, yeah, we've been primarily a two tight end offense in recent years. We may or may not be that. We may be a two tight end, two wide receiver, three wide receiver, two backs. He said basically the strength of this offense, or what we feel like is the system, is we figure out what the skill set of our various players are and then try to put them in position to succeed. We'll see. He said it's going to be a work, Brady said it's definitely a work in progress, and McDaniel said it may go on into the season. It may take a while, and they're far from deciding what roles people are going to have.
You know, other than that 07 year, I don't think on offense or defense this team has ever been a team where they say, we're just better. We just do what we do.
Right.
They've always been a game plan, depending on who they're playing, type of team. And that goes for the offense, too.
But they've still been a two tight end team. That didn't change dramatically.
Yeah.
There's a chance that we could see more dramatic week-to-week personnel packages.
And you know what's interesting, too, is recently, since the offense really, we'll use 07, since the offense made that jump to historic status, they've almost always seemed to get off to great starts where they're scoring, 30, 40 points.
Right.
And then they kind of, they continue that through the middle of the season. They kind of taper off a little bit. I mean, there's some exceptions. They've had, Monday night blowouts over Houston and the Jets in 2010. I'm not saying every game down the stretch, but they seem to get off to a great start, dominate in the middle of the season, then sort of taper off as they get to the playoffs. I think it could be the opposite this year. I think that in the second half of the year, you could see this offense get better. Obviously, when Gronkowski is himself, if Gronkowski's himself, Andy, I don't want you to get mad at me. How do you know Gronk's going to be Gronk? I know, will Gronk ever be Gronk
Rob
again?
Rob Gronkowski will be on the field, but will Gronk?
Exactly.
So
I think
06,
you have a chance to get better.
They got better in 06.
Yeah.
And it was like this. They added guys.
Like that. We've seen that defensively all the time. They always start off slow defensively and then play a little bit better as the season wears on. I think you could see that offensively this year.
Yeah, and one of the things I like is I know Vollmer's kind of taken it a little slow, and Connolly's been off and on, but I think right now the offensive line is in a better shape than it was at this time last year. Vollmer, after practice, spent some time one-on-one with Ninkovich on the field, just trying to work on some stuff. And then he came up. The guy's mad. He is huge.
Him and Solder are so big. It's ridiculous.
And he's strong, too, unlike Solder.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. I don't even know how. But one of the, I think he's one of the anypatriotsdraftguys.com website guys, got a tour and took a photo of the bests in the weight room. And Vollmer's bench is like off the charts. His squat, like he's just a. He doesn't look it. He looks very GQ lean,
right?
But he's also ridiculously strong.
He's massive,
especially for a guy who's had back problems.
I think
he's like a 550 bencher and like some of these ridiculous numbers. And he's just such a nice guy that you
real nice.
But he's a scary, scary specimen. And why was he so friendly with you?
I don't know. I think we had a connection in London.
Spoke a little German with him.
Yeah,
right?
Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Yeah. Haben Sie Katzen Yama.
In London? Yeah. What did you do with him in London?
I don't know. Remember that first day we got there?
Had a connection.
You get off the plane after having been on the plane, and we were in that ballroom.
Yeah.
And he was...
He was one of the guys there,
I don't know if it was just...
They bumped butts.
Yeah. The questions I asked
he goes,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if I bailed him out of a couple questions. I forget, but we
probably
we seem to have a connection.
He did. I mean,
maybe
he came over.
Maybe it's our German background.
Maybe
it,
yeah.
it was weird.
It was
really
Andy and I were just standing there staring for
it was
a while.
Just the two of you.
And then it got awkward because people wanted to talk to Vollmer, and they were kind of crowding around Fred, and Fred was trying to back out.
I was trying to get out because I wasn't going to interview him. I was just talking.
And Vollmer just was looking at Fred.
Yeah, it was.
And Fred only. It was. It went on for like a minute. It was just kind
plus
of
he
funny.
Also goes to the barbecue place around my house. So,
do you
a
see
lot
him
of the
there?
I've seen
oh, that one on the corner there?
Yeah, a lot of the linemen go there.
That looks intriguing. Is it like a former gas station or something? It's like a weird look to it.
It used to be a little burger joint.
Oh, burger yeah, it looks like a drive-up or yeah. It's got a weird look to it.
Yeah,
so
it's got
good?
One of those old-time drive-up burger joints.
Why don't you have them cater your party next year?
It's just so heavy in the afternoon to have all that barbecue. You know, you feel like
you bring the Dells back next year.
Yeah, yeah.
No
more Sundays.
I thought that was the highlight of the
really
night. The ice cream cookie sandwiches was the best ice cream cookie sandwich I've ever had.
Oh, you can get an ice cream cookie sandwich, but you can get some Dells too. No,
you could do ice cream cookie sandwich and Dells. No, did you have the ice cream cookie sandwich?
I did not.
She said
phenomenal.
They make the cookies with marshmallow and rice or something, and it holds it together nicely. So it they were phenomenal, tremendous.
Okay,
yeah.
I have a little note
maybe
from...
Maybe because I didn't have one.
I didn't have one either.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I was just caught up in other things.
And
they,
then I
they
had
melt pretty quickly, though. You got to...
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, it was a hot day. Yeah. Yeah. But and then the Sundays were, yeah, very good. I was walking around with my son today. I took him for a little tour of the stadium. And I didn't know this from where our vantage point, but when we were up high, they've really done a lot of work in Dante's Inferno area out there.
Oh, yeah?
They added... a looks like a perfectly level but angled field where we saw Connolly running the other day, and
yeah.
It's lined in 5-yard segments.
Oh.
So he was doing uphill, perfectly uphill, 10-yard sprints. Whatever the you know, it's not just a rolling hill. It was made, and they've added.
They go uphill in practice, so they go downhill in the game.
Oh, well done.
Unfortunately, yes, they do go down.
He didn't come up with
then this. There's all new paintwork where they have a lot of 5-yard squares, which also have X's across them. So whatever the drills they're you know using the line, and
that's
then
for
they
four
have
square.
A nut.
They play four square.
That's four square.
You don't know four square?
It's like one of those check-in social media.
No,
things, right?
Oh, I'm thinking.
No.
What's
the game we used to play in Walpole
with the ball?
Park.
Four square.
Yeah, two square.
I thought you were talking about your social media app.
No, I'm talking
square.
About the game you play with the ball and you bounce it and you.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
in
I
box. My bigger point was Dante has a new playground over there where different things for his linemen and uphill and all that stuff I thought was we haven't seen in recent years.
So it's less hell and more purgatory.
I don't know what that means.
Dante's Inferno was the three
You wonder
levels.
If his new helper.
Hell, Purgatory, and Paradise.
Mr. Dable brought that with him and said, hey, let's do this stuff.
Maybe. I have absolutely no idea. But... Or maybe they're going to wet down the hill and go down
Dable.
The hill.
I've lost track of Dable. What's he doing out there?
He was working a lot with Tebow the other day,
okay.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because he has
Bro's
been,
like an offensive lineman.
He has been totally with the offensive lineman, almost like a tackle coach.
Yeah, tackle coach.
And then we saw him the other day. Andy and I were going down the ramps. We're like, who's this guy working? And we're like, is it Dable? Because we couldn't figure out why he
was.
Was
he
been
available
there.
Yesterday?
No, he's not a position coach.
He's not a position coach. He's a coaching assistant.
You know. A lot of coaching assistant or three-time a former offensive coordinator.
What about food?
I don't think we got food.
Are they cooking for us today or what?
No, probably not until after practice.
If then, right?
No, I think according to the release, it said that we were having something every day.
So we have to provide our own lunch today.
I don't think that was on the
I'm a little hungry.
Schedule, though.
Little
I think the training camp
a little peckish.
Release,
right, but I don't think the updated schedule had it on there.
After practice, I believe, on days that it's an afternoon practice.
By the way, Rex Ryan saying that the media's making a mountain out of a molehill between the Sanchez and Geno Smith competition. Really? We're talking about who's going to be your starting quarterback. I mean, isn't that the story of Jets camp?
Yeah, I haven't really paid that close attention, but I did see him talking about that term, about the whole thing. Idzik has said that he will be part of that decision process.
Right.
It'll be a group.
Right.
And I do think the media is sort of making a mountain out of that. I think that, Ryan, this is a new GM, and he's not tied to Ryan. I mean, I think that only makes sense.
True. True.
That the GM would have some... I mean, listen, we know that Ryan's gone after this year.
Well, the thing is, Ryan painted himself in a corner because last year he said, I'm the one who makes this decision. And this year he said, no, that wasn't true. Even last year, I wasn't the only one. So he's kind of contradicted himself from last year.
Yeah, some of the New York writers were even talking about how it's almost sad.
Yeah.
You know, with Ryan, because he's not...
He's a shadow of
himself.
It's
like he knows he's gone, and
he
he's a shadow of himself.
He is.
Oh, I need to update my blog from last night. Amanda Belichick, the daughter of Bill Belichick, who was here, apparently no longer at Ohio State, is now the head coach at Wesleyan University.
Really? Oh, that's cool. That was fast.
Women's lacrosse, by the way.
Fast ascension for her. She was only assistant for a couple years before she got a head coach gig.
Bill did go there.
Well, I know.
Hard to see that connection.
Oh, man. Speaking of hard.
Let's see. Who's this? Somebody writes in. Good morning, fellas. Just want to thank you guys for all the training camp coverage. It's the best around and second to none. So on to my question.
That's
I want to ask
redundant.
Paul
and you said it twice.
I want to ask Paul and Andy what's their opinion on how Aqib Talib has looked so far the first few practices of training camp. In my opinion, he was overrated last season after we acquired him, but we will need him to be a number one corner this year if the defense is going to take a positive step forward. Once again, thanks for all the PFW coverage, and as always, F the Jets.
He's looked good. He is. We've been surprised a little bit by how competitive he's been with Danny Amendola. Sort of theoretically, he's an Andre Johnson, Anquan Boldin matchup, which is where they used him last year as a big corner. But we've talked about how guys like Cromartie, who are a little bit like that big, long, struggle sometimes with Wes Welkers and these quick guys. It's just camp, but he's looked good facing Amendola. Now, as always, maybe he's looked good because our receivers are going to stink this year. I have no idea. But Talib has looked very good, and I agree with the overrated part from last year. He was given more credit than I thought he necessarily earned on the field.
Well, he had skills that, for a while, we haven't had in this
team.
Well,
the way they used
to. So we were like, you know.
Right.
But I agree. You know, he has been matched up with Amendola a lot, which is good for both of them. But in speed-wise, he's just stayed hip-to-hip with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throughout all the cuts and
it shouldn't happen.
Jigs and jags.
So is that a bad Amendola or a good Talib?
I'm hoping it's a good Talib. You know?
Yeah, I would agree with all of that analysis, and I would add, you know, Andy mentioned that we got a chance to talk to all the assistant coaches as the position coaches yesterday. Josh Boyer and Matt Patricia did this earlier, talked about him and Arrington, how helpful they've been as leaders back there. Not necessarily how I would think of Aqib Talib, you know, just from afar. That he would be considered to be a good locker room presence and a leader. So
and an award winner for the offseason program.
Any chance he's a captain this year?
No.
I'd be surprised.
Same captains as last year?
I'd be surprised.
Slater,
that
Brady,
this is
Will
not
Ford,
the year to take
Mankins,
a risk as a captain on a guy like that.
You don't
that.
Think any changes in the captaincy?
McCourty.
Yeah.
I don't see anything changing.
I think you open yourself up to a snarky column.
Well, they
somebody.
Did that one year with Moss. They made him a captain, and I think the reason they did it was – You
yes.
know, buy in here. We need, you know.
Different resumes, different time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I think that the time is.
And Moss
important.
Never had some of the things that Talib has on his track
True.
Record.
True.
And also, but the biggest issue is the timing. You're setting yourself up to look really bad.
Yeah. Moss also was a guy that people naturally followed.
Well, that's the thing. He's
I'm
a
not,
Pied Piper,
yeah.
but sometimes for the wrong reasons.
Well, yeah, but I'm not sure Talib is that type of personality.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a good personality, though.
Oh, yeah, he is a good personality.
He makes me laugh.
I don't know if he's that kind of...
Did we talk about...
You know who likes to talk, too, is Tommy Kelly.
Yeah.
He's a good interview.
Yeah, and he's an interesting figure because he's so freaking big.
Right.
Massive. And he kind of seems to be pretty happy-go-lucky, and you don't... You more of think he's going to be scary like Ted Washington, and he doesn't appear to be that. But, like, I heard Ninkovich on Sirius, they asked him, like, a guy to watch out for, and he said Tommy Kelly. The guy's, like, 6'8", 300-pound, massive. He thinks he's going to be a stud for them.
Oh, by the way, big check last night, media check. If you guys want to mention the person, you can, but a well-known
King.
National
Peter
writer.
Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback.
Asked Danny Amendola, you know,
he'd met Wes Welker.
If he had ever met Wes Welker, and Amendola's like, well, yeah, we were on the same team.
Idiota.
You know, he followed Welker at Texas Tech.
Yeah. So
thank God he's revolutionized the
but
coverage
is,
of football.
Yes, this is the guy who is charged with revolutionizing the way we cover the National Football League.
Ben from Chicago writes in, thank you for taking the time to read my email. I have two somewhat involved questions for you. Which NFL player would be the best comparison to Aaron Dobson and his skill set? Also, if you were to speculate, do you think he will be better, worse, or as good as said player? So that's the first question. Who would you compare Aaron Dobson to?
Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, boy. I will go with Bolden, Anquan Bolden. And I don't think he'll be as good as that because I don't think that's fair to say a rookie will be as good.
He might have a little more speed.
I was thinking
Anquan
that too.
Well, Bolden was fast when he was young.
I know, but Paul, I was thinking
don't forget how athletic he was when he was young, right?
I was thinking that
Bolden
too,
is
the only
more
thing
physically.
Is, don't you think that Dobson has the ability or the potential to make more of the acrobatic catch than Bolden does?
Well, again, I think people are forgetting how good Bolden
was
when he was in Arizona.
Very good in Arizona, yeah.
Acrobatic-wise?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was a great athlete.
Dobson might be faster, though.
Bolden played quarterback at Florida State when he first got there.
Yeah, I think he's probably a little faster. But, yeah, he's certainly not a speed burner. And he's
not
certainly,
as physical.
Yeah, I don't think he has any – maybe his hands are the wowest of him. But in terms of speed or size, or nothing jumps out. The hands are probably the thing you focus on the most when you watch him work for a little bit.
I like that.
Which is always a good thing.
Right.
It's a good place to start because we've seen enough receivers who had some of the other stuff and the hands didn't measure up, and that's like the fatal flaw. If you don't have the hands, all the other...
You can't get open, you can't catch the ball, you can't be a receiver.
Well, the getting open is still...
Yeah.
We're working on that.
But again, if he is similar to college where there's a guy there but he always catches it, all right, what do you want me to tell you?
Well, then it's just a matter of Brady trusting
him. And he already has shown some examples. Tlaib was all over him in one of my favorite plays of camp so far. Brady threw it up. Dobson went up and got it. I mean, that's great. It's just camp, but Brady last night spent some time with him doing shoulder bobs, show him specific stuff. He is certainly well aware that he needs some of these guys, and he's taking the time to develop some of these guys. And he said he's tried not to be the cranky old guy that yells at him every time they mess up.
The second part of Ben's email, after 4 days of camp, who are the three most impressive rookies? Also, would you rate each one with one of the following terms? Perennial Pro Bowler, solid NFL player, Jag, or worse than Tebow?
Well, Dobson, I'll go solid NFL
player.
Solid
NFL player.
And he'd be my number one.
Number one. Yep.
Impressive rookie, Jamie Collins.
What was that P word?
Solid.
Pump those brakes.
I think he someday could make a Pro Bowl, but I don't think perennial.
Collins.
Yeah. Jamie Collins, I'd say intriguing athlete, and we've seen like we said coming in, we've seen enough to say, yeah, he's an intriguing athlete.
Right.
The length, the dropping into coverage, but I think he's going to be raw for a while. Who else?
This is really
my guy Logan Ryan
hasn't really done anything.
He hasn't looked good.
No. Let's include first year players here.
We're gonna have to, I think, because there's so many young guys that.
Tompkins has made some plays up until last night. Looked pretty damn good. He might be in the mix.
I think
Sudfeld has been in the mix.
I think Boyce has some special skills, but we haven't seen him catch the ball well enough.
Yeah, I mean, his best play was on a tipped should have been an interception that Tavon
Wilson
set
over the
set
shoulder
to him.
Catch too that he had.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a good play.
But
he hasn't shown up as much as anywhere near as much as Dobson.
That's really
there's been
about
a big drop off after Dobson. It's Dobson and the rest. Dobson has shown up like a veteran or pretty consistently.
All right, let's take a break. It's almost noon. We're going to 1 o'clock today here at PFW in Progress, and we'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I don't know about those before.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos. I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller coaster of love.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We're here until 1 o'clock. Little different schedule today, 11 to 1 instead of 12 to 2, making time for practice, which is immediately following. And all the updates will be on patriots.com later today. As always, talking about who's standing out at camp and all that other stuff. Dylan writes in.
Are you going to give out the international number?
Yeah, what did, I emailed about that yesterday. Have we heard back, Kevin, about
we
have
that? I just got my, this one works. We just, that's why I was in there.
Okay, this one, you're pointing to the other studio.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Good.
So ESPN Boston can take international calls.
Yes, but we can't, I don't think, yet. But they're they also
they even have a show anymore?
I have no idea.
No, their thing starts August 6th, right?
You're talking about Football Nation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah. But they couldn't take calls at all really prior to today. So
but that's all set.
They're all set.
What about us?
I'll write J.O. right now for you.
Okay. Because I think the domestic works, but it's the international. But I should
domestic
be,
game.
It should be up by now. We got to get that going.
Yeah.
Dylan
want to talk. They're in Europe. They're hearing about camp. They want to talk.
Quick question. NFL.com reports that the only bright spot in the Patriots receiving corps is Danny Amendola. I think they are missing out on Dobson. He looks like a nice, tall receiver that could somewhat stretch the field with his longer strides, more like Moss. What do you think? Also, who do you think will break out this season other than Chandler Jones?
Shane Vereen.
That's a good one.
I have so many eggs in that basket, I've lost track.
Dante Hightower.
Yeah. That's when we hope.
Yeah, that's more of a hope than an expectation.
Vereen is more of an expectation.
I think Dobson has been extremely impressive. I'm not sure I think of him as a stretch the field. He will make some plays down the field. I'm not saying that he'll never.
All receivers do.
Yeah, but I don't think of him as a Randy Moss stretch the field guy.
No, the guy who's probably got a better chance to stretch the field out of the slot would be Boyce. I mean, I think he's got more pure straightaway speed.
He did look a little like Dante Stallworth on a couple plays where he had that straight-out speed.
See, he kind of reminds me of David Patton. I feel like he strides out like Patton did as a smaller speed-based guy.
Yeah, I like the comparisons because those guys, they tended to, you know, when the ball was in the air, you'd see them get to a different gear. And Patton, especially in training, I remember in training camp in 2001, I was like, wow, this guy can run. I mean, he can just flat out run. I didn't know if he could do everything else. I didn't know if he could take a hit. And I was wondering how he was available. He was a young guy at the time. I think the Giants had him.
Right.
And sort of gave up on him early. And I was wondering, you know, does he not run routes well?
Body
or
control to go up, get that bad pass from
certainly, Drew. You know, for a short period of time, he was a very, very good receiver for the Patriots. I'm sorry if I use very, very good in an improper tone again, improper manner.
No, I would say Bill Belichick's drafting is similar to David Patton's contributions.
Short period of time, I think that he was a very important player in that offense.
James, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world.
Richie Rich.
Hello, ladies. I find myself in the rare position of agreeing with Paul and nobody else. I'm talking about what I think the win-loss record will be this year. I'm hovering at 12 wins. In Tom, we trust. My question is this. Would you rather start the season with the current team or the Matt Castle-led 08 team that we know was 11-5? If you think their record is going to be less than 11-5 and you choose this team, then you are a fraud. I'm planning a Tebow heckling trip soon, so see you then. The only problem with I hear what James is saying, and his logic is sound.
Flawed analogy.
That schedule that year truly was weak at times, and whenever they came up against, you know, a good team, they had trouble.
Matt Castle and that 2008 team heading into this season, I think would be hard pressed to go 500.
The other flaw in the logic is they could make the playoffs at 9-7. This year, whereas with 11-5 they didn't.
Yeah.
So you'd have to take this team because there's a chance they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think.
Well, there's
I think
no chance.
Team,
the
I think this team is more talented, and Brady makes it more talented just by himself. But otherwise, I still think it's more talented than that team was. I don't think that 2000. It was remarkable that team went 11-5, even with all the things. I'm not taking that away, but that was Fred's right. Who, that was a bad, bad schedule.
Did Brady do an interview recently?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
He talked now about he wants to play till he's 50. Was he being serious?
He's saying into his 40s.
He said that.
So that's another thing. You know, let's continue our check marks. You know, when he says it to Peter King, it becomes news. He has said that to us,
and
going back to as far as I can remember.
Yeah,
I want to play into my 40s. Yeah. He said that many times. He has said, you know, the phrase 10 more years many times. You know,
for the last 10 years.
He was 28, it was 10 more years. It was 32, it was 10 more years. Now he's going to be 36 when?
August 3rd.
The 3rd.
Yeah.
He still wants to play 10 more years. He has said these things consistently. I don't know how long he's going to play, but he has never sort of changed that message that he intends to play a long time.
Has but he found Peter the fountain King, of youth? Or?
Peter King makes it news.
I find it hard to believe he's going to be playing in his 40s. I really do.
26? Oh, I don't necessarily know about that. In his 40s, yeah, maybe.
I mean, people have done it. It's rare.
They have done it.
And how
rare.
Well do they do
and
it?
And how well do they, right. They do
and
it?
And where do they do it?
His current contract runs through 2017, which puts him at 40 years old. I think that's it. He's done at that point. Ends his career as a Patriot.
No,
I mean, I think that's probably the most likely because I think if you get to that point, if he plays out this contract and you get to that point and the Patriots are sort of balking at re-signing him, I think that he looks at it and says, well, I don't want to go somewhere now.
Yeah, well, what if he's coming off an MVP season?
Brett Favre did.
Well, I don't think the Patriots would be balking at re-signing him.
Luke in Ludlow, you know what I mean? Writes in, and I'll read his PS first. He says, I was the guy who yelled to Andy from the stands
last night.
And then had to explain who you jokers were to the people surrounding
you. Well, the people surrounding you are clearly morons, and you're a nice, educated
Did you see how
fan.
Andy just like put his head down and ran?
I waved. I waved to him. It was the guy in the elevator I put my head down trying to avoid.
It was embarrassing for
him. The hammered guy coming out of the club.
Anyway, Luke is a first-time emailer. He says he went to the Teddy Bruschi induction. It was awesome that Bill was able to come out and say a few words about one of his favorite players to coach. Anyway, I also went to practice afterwards. And here are a few of my observations, taking into account it was just an early practice. Dobson looked good, great for a rookie. Washington looked explosive. Jones looked like a beast. And Tebow has an enormous hitch in his delivery. A freshman in high school would know where he was going with the pass.
Well, that's funny because receivers don't know where he's going with the pass.
I wouldn't disagree with any of those comments. I think Jones
does look bigger.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Well, he told us to put on 10 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, he looks it.
Good weight.
I like 10 pounds of muscle.
Yep. The thighs. Thighs are bigger.
Speaking of fat thighs, did you see Jonathan Dwyer lost like 30 pounds?
Because
he wants to be the lead dog. And
well, he's a good player.
What if his thighs lost like 20 pounds?
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
Best two moments from practice. Who reeled in a sick one-handed snag.
Yep.
Ball thrown by the greatest third-string quarterback ever. And Dennard laid the smackdown on some jag during a tackling drill.
That was probably when I was watching the fat guys tackle.
I remember the Who-Man catch that you're talking about. It was impressive.
Kevin is from Missouri. And he says, what's going on? This is my second time emailing you guys, but if you read it, it'll be a first.
Well, it's a first. You're no longer a virgin.
With the unknown receiving core with players like Moss and Dallas Clark still available, why not try to get one of them, if only for this year? Moss is still in great shape and can be productive, as he showed with the 49ers, made the QB switch last season. He still demands attention, and he makes some deep plays with Cap at quarterback. And Dallas Clark has shown he can still be productive, so what's the question mark with bringing him in for a year? They both are seasoned veterans and can help with the development of young, inexperienced receiving core and still be productive on the field. Keep in mind, Moss did nothing wrong here except ask for an extended contract, and when he left, he had nothing but praise for the Patriots, and we've never heard anything about Clark, so why not bring them to camp to compete? Well, I think Moss, forget about. Let's take Dallas Clark, though. If you're going to bring in Dallas Clark, you're going to use him, and then that takes away the reps. So maybe you know what you got out of him, and if it doesn't look like Gronk can come back or whatever, or if Fells wasn't playing well or Ball, maybe then you bring in Clark. But I think
they
it's
worked
too
out
early.
Clark, right?
No, I think they worked him out.
Right?
Yeah.
Wasn't
so they
the
know.
Report? So they know what he's got or doesn't
have. Last year.
Yeah, last year. I don't think this year.
No, that's what I'm saying. But they have worked him out before.
Yeah.
I don't think so. They feel there's no rush to do that if they. You know,
maybe he feels there's no rush.
Dallas Clark?
Yeah. Maybe he's just kind of hanging out and seeing what happens with a bunch of options.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Baltimore lost Dennis Pitta, and they immediately went to Shanko, and not I would think Dallas Clark is the kind of Pitta replacement there. I would have thought that would have made some sense there, that kind of underneath, shifty, pass-catching tight end. That's Pitta. He's not a blocker. He's not a big, imposing guy. But they went with Shanko, who I'm not sure, based on what we saw in limited action last year, I know maybe it was just that he couldn't pick up the system. I don't know. We heard some rumblings about that in the local papers here that, you know,
he's ripped,
he had a hard time. I don't know. Dallas Clark, is he substantially better at this stage of his career than Fells and Hooman and even Ballard? Maybe he is.
He's better than Ballard.
He caught about 40 passes last year, 45. For Tampa Bay?
40-something. I don't remember exactly.
You know, with Josh Freeman throwing the ball, who struggled for most of the year. You know, I have no doubt that he could be productive catching passes.
And he's certainly an Aaron Hernandez type.
Yep.
But I mean, I don't know what he's looking for. Maybe he is waiting for a little money or some, you know, another guy to go down or the right situation.
Or like Fred said, maybe he doesn't want to be in camp and he's content to wait until some team really needs someone.
Is he?
Yeah, and you can't give me the double bird if we sign Dallas Clark because I never said that's not going to happen.
And I never said it would. So,
but you did say John Abraham would sign, and he's a Cardinal.
But I agree with Freddie on Moss.
I blame it all on Erica Lee.
Check.
Her 15 minutes is up.
I agree with you on
Moss.
She might
have seen a contract, but it sure as hell wasn't signed. You know, it was just something that they were offering. Maybe it was not signed.
She may have seen a contract, but it wasn't signed.
Tim in Coburg.
Where's Coburg?
I have no idea. He says, "I'm wondering about Tom Brady's accuracy with regards to his deep throws. Has anyone noticed a decrease in velocity, length in his deep throws? Have they gotten better? It seems to me this element of his game will be crucial to the Patriots' success with the additions of Dobson and Boyce."
His deep balls have not been great in camp.
No, and I never thought it was a real strength. And
he also seems to be like forcing it, like really trying to throw the deep ball.
They've been throwing a lot of deep patterns.
No, but I mean physically. It looks like
he
doesn't look smooth.
I agree with you, Andy. I'm with you.
So I don't know if he feels like he's lost something. It's kind of like when you try to hit a home run. When you try to hit the ball hard, it rarely does what you mm-hmm. don't hit a home run. And when he's tried to throw it hasn't worked.
I will say his overall velocity, I think, is as good as ever on regular mm-hmm. throws. You know, the 15 yard out, he's throwing some bullets. In practice, some in cuts that have been right there. But I agree with Andy down the field, deep down the field on some fade routes, some deep go routes.
Nyeh.
Hasn't been there.
Nyeh, nyeh.
Let's see. Simon from the UK is currently in Orlando and he's writing in. He says, "Fred, you don't have to read this on air. And knowing you, I kind of think this almost guarantees you'll read it on air."
Bingo.
But don't you think the international number for toll free is 20th century? Get a Skype ID. I'd imagine most international and U.S. callers have a Skype ID. I know you mentioned it before, but Skype has grown so much in the last couple of years. It now accounts for over 25% of all international minutes. Next closest telco has less than 5%. I think PFW in Progress is available as an ID.
So why don't we get it?
With Microsoft now owning Skype, I would imagine you get plenty of kudos and help from them if you wanted to set it up. You can even launch Skype calls directly from Facebook. So it would also help in the pregame social. Well, maybe we can look into that.
You have no idea, do you?
What, Skype?
Well, I know I told you what Skype was about 3 years ago, but
Andy, you told me what Skype was.
Do you have a Skype ID?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I'd have to look mine up.
Yeah, my wife uses it for some stuff, but 25% of all international calls are Skype?
Makes sense.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good market share,
I like
though.
Skype.
No?
But I don't understand what the detriment of having a toll free would be.
I don't know. Yeah, we're gonna have the toll free,
right? And we could add Skype as an additional thing, especially if I didn't know Microsoft had purchased them, and now NFL has a deal with Microsoft.
Can you Skype on phones?
Oh yeah.
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 You just download the app.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. iPads.
Yep.
Xbox.
Jake Beckett says,
Xbox?
Ryan,
yep.
what are you guys seeing out of him at training camp?
Who?
Yeah, he beat Nate Soldier in a one-on-one drill yesterday.
Yeah, we happened to look up, and Andy and I were sort of doing the one-on-one offensive line, defensive line drills, and Beckett got the outside on Soldier on a play. Now, I thought Soldier did a good job of sort of keeping him wide, but Beckett beat him off the line and got the edge on him, and Soldier was sort of playing catch-up. That was the one rep that we saw. He hasn't been involved in a lot of the teamwork again.
We'll wait
till
the preseason.
Same
He'll get
as
his
last
second
summer.
Team reps. We'll see what can go. I mean, this be an interesting year for him because if you can't show something, you might be in trouble.
And there's opportunities, I think, for sub rushers. Jamie Collins, Andy talked about a little while ago, and different kind of sub rusher. But Justin Francis, Jermaine Cunningham, Jake Beckett. There are guys on the roster that aren't all going to be here. And it's going to be interesting to see which ones.
After the show, I might have to rush to get a sub.
You going to go to Subway? Fresh Broadcast Studios?
Alex is in Philly. So much for the done deal with Abraham. Or maybe him signing with the Cardinals is just a really elaborate move by Bill for him to eventually land with the Patriots by week one. Anyway, I keep hearing about what our first and third string quarterbacks are doing, but what about our second string quarterback? How's the future looking? Also, a question about the defense. Realistically, how good can it be this year? Everyone seems to be expecting a big jump on defense, but it's not like we're going to be a top five overnight. The best I can see us being is middle teens, which is a big jump from the bottom 20. But considering that the offense will take a step back, will a middle-of-the-pack defense be good enough? So first, Mallett, what do you guys think so far?
Yeah. Not much different than last year. Hasn't made much progress.
You know what makes him look better?
Tebow?
Five.
I didn't think of that, but
he does.
You're right.
He can at least run the offense and, for the most part, gets rid of the football. It's not as quick as Brady. He still has the problem. Fred, you were on him for this the other day. The throw is always either on the back, you know, shoulder or flat out just behind the guy. Paul likes to think he's going to get somebody killed by laying him out with those throws. It's the same thing. It's a slow read and a throw that isn't accurate.
I think if he played a lot, if 2008 happened again and he had to play the whole year, he would throw a lot of interceptions on balls across the middle that get deflected by the receiver up into the air into a waiting safety zone.
And he'd also make some great throws.
Because he's always...
He'd also zip it in there and wow.
He's always high and behind. Unbelievable. He's always high and behind with his throws. To me, consistently. And he had maybe three of them in a five-play span last night. That's why he was my guy that I was selling off the in-stadium practice last night.
So you're saying Brady can't get hurt.
Yeah, I would be concerned about that. But listen, Castle was not impressive at all.
I was cutting him. I wanted
he
him
was
cut.
Not impressive at all in the 2008 training camp.
Bill was looking for veterans.
I thought in the preseason games, he was a little bit better than some people gave him credit for. They didn't move the ball consistently, but I didn't think it was necessarily because he was awful. But he was not good on a consistent basis in 2008 training camp, and he turned out to have a pretty solid season. So who knows?
I forget, but was it the last two preseasons where, for the most part, the offense really couldn't move the ball in the first and second quarters? When
this year? I mean, like now, the last two?
No, last two years, last two preseason years.
I don't remember that being...
No?
I mean, Brady doesn't play a whole lot in the preseason anymore. Now, it'd be interesting to see if that changes at all because of all the new receivers. Maybe they want to get him a little bit more.
Right.
I wouldn't think they would go too far with that, but he doesn't play a ton in the preseason.
Matt writes in, after hearing you guys give your record predictions for the upcoming season, I thought I'd give it a try myself. I came up with 9-7. I have the Patriots 5-1 in the division with the only loss at Miami. Rarely do they go through the division undefeated, and they always seem to struggle in Miami.
That is true.
Against the NFC South, I have them splitting 2-2 with wins against the Bucs and Panthers and losses to the Saints and Falcons. Against the against the AFC North, I also have a split with wins against the Browns and Bengals and losses to the Steelers and Ravens. Against last year's division winners, I have them losing both games, Broncos and Texans. I believe this could be a very strong possibility, but it means they will go 3-5 in the months of November and December, which is usually when the team is hitting its stride. It also means that every time they go up against a winning team from the year before, they lose, which means they're
in some cases, bad teams from the year before, and they're going to lose.
Which means they're not going to do anything.
I just find it hard to believe that they're going to lose all of those games.
Right.
You know, we say they're going to lose to Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Well, I'm going to guess they're going to split those games. They're going to lose. They're going to lose to Denver and Houston. I'm going to guess they're going to split those games.
Now you're 11-5.
You know, and that's why I think that they'll be a little bit better. Now, I get it. There's question marks, and there are more question marks than we're accustomed to. And maybe I'm putting too much. Andy and Eric have been criticizing me for just saying, well, other than Belichick and Brady, what are you basing it on? Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm putting too much faith in that that line of thinking. But I just find it hard to believe that every good team they play, they're going to lose to. That's what it would take to go 9-7, by the way.
He says, P.S., my wife and I are planning a trip to Mass in the fall for a half marathon in Falmouth. How would I go about providing lunch for PFW the Thursday before the home game against the Dolphins?
Just Kevin? Buy it. Kevin will be in touch.
Dylan says, everybody shut up about Randy Moss. That is all.
Yeah, Moss to me is just, it's done.
He's done.
Yeah.
El Dune.
I mean, and the Patriots aren't the only one that thinks that, right?
Nobody else is out there.
About 31 other teams
clamoring to sign him.
Evan is in Ghana, which is in Africa.
Yes,
Eric,
it is.
Have you been to Ghana?
No, I've not been to Ghana.
Okay.
When
you do,
I'm not. I don't know if I'm gonna go or not.
Are you going back to Africa?
Is there gonna
I'd love to someday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a chance for a great story.
Is there gonna be a chapter in the book
again,
about
he's
Ghana?
Wishing my death. No, I didn't.
Is
go
there
to Ghana.
Gonna be a chapter?
No,
no,
I didn't go there. It's about my trip to Africa.
You're writing a book about Africa.
You're writing a book?
Yeah, about my trip to Africa.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You were there for 2 weeks and you're writing a book?
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
Wow. What's the book incredible. About? Just your
the trip. The whole it's a travel memoir.
Oh, okay. Self-publishing or do you have a publisher?
No, I'm going to write it first and then see
because you can publish yourself right now. You don't even have to have a publisher.
I know, but it helps to have a publisher.
Sure it does.
So I'm going to write it first and then take it from there.
Wow. Do you have a length in mind or?
Well, I'm told
What?
What are you laughing at?
When he said, "Do you have a length in mind?"
is this a long book or?
It just
as it go on.
Is this sort of like Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness? Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness.
Well, I was told by people who have published books before that generally you should, at the minimum, get 65,000 to 70,000 words for a normal sized book of any kind.
220 pages,
something like that. Yeah. Right. So. I know I'm going to have 12 chapters, one for each day, and my goal is to try to get several thousand words per chapter to try to meet that goal, but we'll see. I mean, I'm just going to write it and see how...
Photos?
I took 1,600 of them.
Include photos?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just saying, you definitely would have been able to publish it if you had been eaten by a lion.
You have a title in mind.
I would have been able to write it if I'd been eaten by a lion.
No, but the story would have been worth publishing.
Do you have a title in mind?
I do. I have a working title already. Yeah, I'm in my third chapter already.
What's the title?
Well, do I want to give that away right now?
I don't know. What's the difference?
Even in Africa, I didn't get any.
You afraid someone's going to steal it? Or
no, but I'd like to write it first and then...
Out in Africa.
No. Very
that's
funny.
That's my line.
I know. Yeah.
No, oh, now he admits
now,
to it.
Now he's, yeah.
That's my line.
The African Queen. No, that was Paul who said that.
That was my line.
Okay.
That was my line.
Did you have, brushes with death or anything that would make the book, really interesting?
There's a compelling story in there. What are you laughing at?
I don't know. The way you said that just made me laugh. What is the compelling story?
You'll have to read the book.
Well, I'll never find out then because I'm never going to read your crap, blah, blah, blah.
It's never going to be published, so I'll never have the chance to read it.
Maybe he'll
why
ask,
do you say
have
that?
You,
I just find it hard to believe.
Why
seems like everybody wants to write a book and no one ever gets
I'm
the
actually
book
writing the book.
No, I know. You're going to write it, but...
Well, so's Paul, but
yeah.
He's been doing it for 12 years.
Yeah. That's true. Can't argue.
Well, I just have my doubts.
There
Unless
are so many bad
self-
books out there. You think that it's not possible to publish a book?
Well, I think if you go the self-publishing route, I think it's going to be hard to find a publisher.
Why?
What's the compelling story? Give me a sample. Give me a tease. You don't have to give me this. Just give me a tease.
Didn't Rook wrote a book last year?
He did?
Yeah,
he did. About the history of Rhode Island radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That was one of those. They all have that same cover. That
yeah.
Same type
right.
of.
Right. I forget what the
That's
name of the thing
is. That's got a big
is,
audience,
but...
huh?
All the greats.
You're shredding anyone who's trying to write a book.
All the greats in Rhode Island radio. Storied history.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
We got to hear a little bit from Rookie last night.
Yeah, yeah. He was leading the charge.
Talking about each individual period of Patriots practice. It's a lot of P's.
All right, well.
So when is the expected, when do you expect to complete the writing aspect of this?
Hopefully by next year sometime.
Do you want to do some teases on air? We'll read a little bit of what you've written.
I don't think sharing information with you guys is the best thing that I've ever done in my life, so no.
That was well said.
Well, no, we just read it, put a little music behind it.
No.
No? No?
No.
Okay.
Why would you not be interested in what we have to say about
just because
your,
we used to do
compelling story
reviews doesn't mean yours wouldn't
beg
be.
Your pardon?
You know, just because we did Veet reviews before doesn't
No, we didn't,
like...
by the way. You did.
Yeah.
I want no part of that.
That's a good idea. You try things.
You all right over there?
Not all of them work.
Fly just...
Not all of them work.
There you went.
How was that?
You just
have you picked
underwater
a cover photo yet? Because, you know, a cover really sells
a
book.
It does. No,
he has
I know.
A working
People
cover.
Do judge books by their covers.
Yes.
You're right. No, that's true. I have a few in mind. I haven't
Again,
really
if it were a photo of a lion eating you, it would sell.
Again, I wouldn't be able to write the book if I were dead.
No, but
Andy.
People would be interested. I've never read a book about a lion eating a person.
Maybe you could sell some art, too, if that happened.
That'd be nice.
Could illustrate it.
Right? Isn't
now,
that
it won't
nice.
Be out for a decade if you
that's
illustrate
big,
it.
That's
but.
Big in the art world, right?
Be nice.
Well, it wouldn't be nice. You wouldn't be here.
Right. That would be nice.
It'd be nice.
That would be very nice.
He was right.
He's
it would be
to take
nice.
It to places that I don't like to take it.
But it would be nice. If
you
I
know, unlike
get
Fred, I don't like when bad things happen to other people.
All right. Back to football.
Wait, why would it be bad if he wasn't here?
If he was dead.
Oh,
he got
he was
eaten
dead.
By a lion. Remember?
That's a great story.
Remember? Evans is in Ghana.
That's his story.
That's what started this whole
yes,
thing.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
And I asked for if
you
we
were
had,
gonna read his email.
If we had the number, I asked for a call from Africa the other day, and he could have called if we had the number.
If you had the Skype,
or if we just had the 1-800 number, 1-800 talk Pats, or whatever it is.
Is that where gonorrhea came from?
Oh boy.
Probably
diarrhea.
I'm listening to you on the web now, and I think as a Patriot fan far away in Ghana, Africa, the best thing that can happen to the Patriots this year is Gronk missing the early part of the season and Wes signing with the Broncos.
All right. Let it
all right,
sit
let
in for a
minute.
Pause.
Gronk's injuries has cost the team two Super Bowls over the last two seasons, missing him against the Giants and the Ravens. Because of his unavailability in the playoffs against teams that we can
right,
zone
I
in on, Wes, when all other Brady options are covered, Brady will be forced to bond with his new toys for them to matter in the playoffs. When you have Gronk providing a threat in the middle of the field and end zone like the Ravens use Bolden. Besides, Amendola has more reliable hands and younger than Wes and won't drop balls when we need him to catch them in the playoffs.
At least this is an objective email.
About the team not being able to average 35 points a game, we only need to score just a point more than the opponent to win. And moreover, blowout score lines have not gotten us to any Super Bowl so far. And Hernandez getting arrested will provide the we against the world mentality we had in the 2007 unbeaten run. Keep up the good work. And remember, we are listening to you.
I don't get that whole we against the world thing. I don't really understand
it's certainly
why.
Certainly not that.
Like, I don't get it. I don't even get the logic behind it.
Yeah, it's tough to get that out of that situation.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah, except for the fact that people think they're not going to be as good because of the distraction, and we're going to show them that we're going to.
Yeah, I don't even know if people
think
it's because
of the
distraction.
Yeah, how do you get mad at that?
But I don't even know if people are basing it on the distraction as much as they are the absences.
Yeah, just they don't have Hernandez. He's a good player. He was a key player on the offense. I don't feel, and I don't think they feel it. I don't think they're using it, and I think it would be poor taste to use it, personally.
Yeah, and Brady, you know, said as much.
Yeah.
Because he was asked about it specifically, and he said, I'm not sure. And that was the whole quote that he had about, you know, the fate of this team is going to be decided by the people right. in this locker room. And I think that they're smart enough to know that that doesn't play well. When you have something like this that happens and you sort of use it as a rallying cry, I don't think I agree with Fred.
In or out, I don't think it would play well. Outside, it certainly wouldn't. But I don't think inside. I think there'd be guys in meetings being like,
really?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, Bill did say it's real life, not football. So
I think the rallying cry every year during this era should be, we're the Patriots, and everyone wants to see us, you know, fall from our perch.
And that's
Let's
absolutely
just keep
valid.
It up.
That's
Let's
true.
Just keep it
yeah. That's an us against the world.
Right. That's us against the world. Everybody hates us. That's right. That, and that's valid. That's absolutely valid.
People in this room. Felix in Houston.
Eric?
You guys haven't emailed in a while.
12-4.
Haven't emailed in a while. Have a few questions. One, who will get hurt first, Amendola or Dowling? This is a real positive email.
I'd go Dowling.
We just run the gamut. It's like the last email is followed by this one.
Right. Who will fumble more, Ridley or Vereen?
Ridley.
Ridley.
Who will have more tackles, Mayer or Hightower?
Mayo. He always does.
And who will lose their virginity first, Tebow or Eric Scalavino?
Well, Tebow's a fraud. Eric's a legitimate virgin.
Now, see, that is grounds for
that
slander.
That is misinformation. Can
no,
you prove
it's slander? Sex?
How do you prove that?
It's just, I mean,
I'm not trying to hurt you by saying it.
Oh, yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're not a true. Terrible human being. You really are. You're an awful person.
Well, if you sued him,
you're one of the worst people that has ever been born onto this earth.
Well, that's true. That's true. But if you sue him, you have to prove some type of financial loss
right.
or something. So, Just so you know, we have to get that case ready. I can help you with it.
This is what you guys always do. You change my argument and put words in my mouth.
Adam in Orlando, what do you think would be
Are we moving on from that already?
You want to bang Eric. Yeah, that is obvious.
If that was me, you guys would have stuck on that a lot longer.
I think it was... What's his name?
You want
Brooklyn?
To bang Eric. That is obvious.
Oh, yeah.
You went on a rant.
Well, I think Eric...
And that was true.
Eric firmly believes that Andy is the worst person ever born, and we've established that in the past.
Yeah, but it's not often that we get that kind of visceral reaction from Eric.
Somebody's phone ringing?
Yeah, mine. Somebody from Zeeland, Missouri. I don't know. I get these, like...
Zeeland?
Fill out this survey now. I don't know what list I'm on, but they have my cell phone number.
I just found this gem, Andy, speaking of Skype.
He's talking about Skype like it's the last... Excuse me.
All right.
You hit me in the mouth.
Adam in Orlando, what do you think will be a few storylines or developments, good or bad, coming out of camp? Also, if anyone cares to predict a few midseason storylines, I would love to hear them also, such as win-loss record, players stepping up, etc. Keep up the good work.
12-4.
I mean,
midseason they're going to be 12-4?
No, that's the Patriots.
We've kind of, you know, this whole show's about storylines and, you know, if you were to look ahead to the end of August or the end of camp, and it may not have happened yet, what do you think, what would you predict would be the big storyline? Doesn't have to have already happened. Could be something that's complete conjecture.
A legit storyline.
Yeah. Not one of the funny ones.
Not the ones
we do
in the paper.
Right.
The emergence of the wide receivers. The redo at wide receiver becomes it fulfills its potential to enough of a degree that the offense is not taking a step back from last year.
Can I stay with my Shane Vereen love?
Well, you know
Shane Vereen as Marshall Faulk?
I was just thinking that Vereen emerges as more of an option than Ridley. In other words, you could see him getting more reps.
That would surprise me a little bit.
Yeah, it would be a surprise.
Yeah, that would surprise me.
That would be
a
big storyline.
It would be. Because I don't think it would be a big story if he's good as a third down change of pace guy. I mean, they let Woodhead go and they drafted him in the second. That's his job. That's what he's going to be expected to do. That is fulfilling the expectation.
And obviously,
a surprise would be if he's starting every game and becomes Marshall Faulk. He is the centerpiece of the backfield.
Another storyline would be if a more clear picture of the usage of Tim Tebow came about. That would be a huge storyline.
Yeah, because it's Tebow.
Right. Obviously.
Right. Yeah, I have no interest in it.
But you can't deny it would be a big storyline.
No, it would be, because if he jogs around the field, it's a big story. And he caught one pass, and in Canada they said he was lining up at H-back and working on... No, he didn't. He was in a drill. So, yes, if he sneezes, it's a big story.
The realistic stuff, the defensive improvement, could be a huge storyline.
Kelly and Wilfork? How about Kelly and Wilfork?
If they're able to, Chandler Jones starts to make a run at the year two jump that we talked about with JPP and J.J. Watt and those guys... Huge storyline. If all of a sudden he's a 15-sack guy, and he is a 15-sack guy, Andy, not a guy who gets 15 sacks.
He's not going to be a 15-sack guy.
I'm just saying.
Pump the brakes.
We're asking for speculation.
I'm going Kelly Wilfork. I think there's going to be a lot of stories about, wow, this tandem in the middle. Whew, Wilfork finally has a running mate who kind of can keep up. I like that.
All right.
Big beasts.
They can get their own morning talk TV show, too.
Yeah.
Wilfork and Kelly.
I see what you did there.
Vince can hold up the newspaper, read the headlines.
Okay. Does he have a gap? See what you did there!
Regis and Kelly.
He has his own show,
Yeah, he does, a new one.
On Fox Sports 1, I believe.
Oh, yeah?
The new Fox Sports Network that they're coming out with. I believe Regis has his own show.
Well, they hired Urlacher, too, didn't they?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's coming up, right?
Andy Roddick is also a big part of that network, former tennis player.
Huh.
He's going to be like the host of the nighttime.
He actually still plays.
Oh.
Well, he retired.
Retired.
Yeah,
that was just recent then.
Last year.
Yeah, a year ago.
I think last year's Open was his last tournament.
Because I was wondering how he was going to be such a big part. That they're absolutely pumping him as a major part and still play.
I heard him have a quote that said that everywhere else, tennis is like the second or third most popular sport except in the United States.
Is that true?
Could be.
Was he whining like soccer players
yeah,
would?
Yeah, kind of. It sounded like a whine. I didn't actually hear it. I just read it.
Banging her every day.
Jerry's in California. He couldn't call in for some reason this morning. I don't know why.
Because we don't have an 800 number.
We all know we need one of the young wide receivers to step up. However, there's a very long list of young receivers that have failed as Patriots receivers. My question is, did these receivers also look good in training camp as Dobson does now?
Not nearly as good as Dobson has in the first few days.
Can I call a quick timeout?
Yeah.
ESPN is doing the Patriots, right? Yeah. As we talked about earlier, this is running again. On one column, they have, on the side, running down the right rail, key additions. And, they have Amendola and Tommy Kelly and the like. Darnell Jones is one of the guys they had as a key addition. I mean, they've already released him.
They also have Tim Tebow used in multiple positions in practice. Technically, he hasn't been. Because I would consider you have to do it for the Patriots. Scout team doesn't count. You have to do it for the Patriots. Because I've seen a lot of guys play silly positions on scout teams over the year. You know, Gerard Mayo played safety. No, he didn't.
Matt
actually,
Gutierrez
he was on the scout team.
Covering kicks and stuff. I mean, was that something that would stop the press?
But he actually did that in a preseason game. When you take that leap and do it with an Elvis on the side of your hat and not, another team off a card, then you did. You made a leap.
Angry.
I mean, this misinformation that NFL Network and ESPN it just continues to spew is embarrassing. It's another one of those examples when we know what's actually going on.
Well, that's
what
the thing.
Don't I know when you tell me about Seattle and Dallas and New Orleans?
They're covering,
you have no credibility.
They're covering 31 other teams, and we're taking what they say about those other teams as gospel.
And they're full of it.
And if they're as inaccurate as they are about the Patriots,
then
we don't
they're
know
useless.
What's going on.
Then there is a need for Fox Sports 1 to actually provide accurate information.
They won't be any better. They won't be any better.
Well, then why don't we start PFW Sports 1?
These people, they try to do too much. They spread too thin.
No, they try to sensationalize stories that aren't there. They try to pump it up.
Well, there's nothing sensationalizing about saying Donald Jones is a key addition.
No, that's just an F-bomb.
That's right.
They're incapable. You know, they have a campus of people, but they can't get that right. I'm talking about, to me, this is a calculated attempt to misinform the public and try to pump up SportsCenter with Tim Tebow, a story that isn't there. There's a story. You play the quote. Bill Belichick certainly left the door open for Tim Tebow. And that, whatever. Boom. Play the. That's enough. Why do you have to fluff it? Why do you have to make more of it than it is?
Well, they are in the business of entertainment.
Yeah, I thought they were in the business of telling me the actual news of the sports.
Chris just writes in, my question is about the defense. Can you guys tell me your thoughts on how Collins is coming along? Is there anything to take away from Rutgers 2.0 that would show any of the 2012 Rutgers team can play in the NFL?
No.
Also, although Arrington is a good guy, is he capable of producing according to what he is being paid?
I haven't really seen much out of Collins, honestly.
He's been out there. He's
been
moving
out
around,
there, but he
dropping.
Hasn't.
He's long. He's athletic.
So I saw him make a couple plays in coverage, and he looks to kind of know what he's doing.
He's long and athletic.
I'm still intrigued.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's done nothing to say, okay,
no.
He can play.
No.
He's still,
he hasn't done on defense what Dobson has done on offense. Let's put it that way.
He's done nothing to prove to me he should step on the field yet.
Yeah, I mean, I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. I just think it's really hard for the guy playing the spot that Collins does to do what Dobson's gotten opportunities to do as a wide receiver. I think that's a hard thing to do.
No, but I'm saying I've seen him drop into a zone.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him drop into a zone, find the receiver, spin his head, latch onto him, pick it off. Like, there's never been that next step of, whoa, this guy's a playmaker. It's, athletically, he fits in the spot they have him. Now he has to take the next step and do something with it.
Yeah, I haven't seen a ton.
I haven't seen anything from Rutgers 2.0. Logan Ryan, I've been a little disappointed with his production. Steve Beauharnais has been out there. Harmon had the pick last night, right? He had the pick on the mallet.
Harmon had a late pick, yeah. Just
which was an overthrow, a bad, it wasn't a great play. None of them have done anything to really wooey.
Rupesh writes in, nice to see the team getting on the field. With so much that's happened this offseason, I'm still very optimistic about the Patriots' chances. Really, when looking at the Super Bowl winners, you don't really see a great team, number one seeded teams, winning at all. I'm glad to stay under the radar and be written off and hope that the team will peak at the right time, i.e. during the playoffs, like the Ravens last season and Giants the year before. I hope to have a mediocre regular season but a hot playoffs to win it all. What do you guys think? Who's writing the Patriots off?
As long as you win it all, it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season.
Except Andy, who's writing the Patriots
off? I agree, but it doesn't matter how many games you win in the regular season if you end up winning the Super Bowl.
They're just lowering expectations so that when they're 9-7 stumbling into the playoffs in December, they're going to get hot. You've seen a lot of teams do it, and now we're going to be that team.
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to be as good as you can be. You want to go in playing good football, but I don't think you want to be sort of stumbling around all year playing mediocre and hope to flip a switch in the playoffs.
Especially not with a young team.
It's not a great way to go about it.
Matt and Quincy, seems like a good day to talk about Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah.
In his career, there are a lot of – Paul takes off his headphones.
Well, Paul only talks about people that he believes are in the top 100 Patriots of all time, and he does not include Bruschi in that group.
Yeah, I'm not on record as saying that.
I'm eager to see that analysis.
I don't know by on record is. You said it.
I'm not on record as saying that yet. You all right?
You spilled on yourself?
Are you bleeding?
What did you spill? We haven't eaten anything.
That's true. That's a good point.
How did I get that?
Is that blood?
No.
Grease?
I don't know what it is.
Did you change a tire on the way in or something?
Looks like blood.
Now, Paul. It's not blood.
Dried? What'd dried you, up?
Is it Coke?
I don't know what it is. Anyway.
Coca-Cola, I mean.
Could be Coca-Cola.
It seems like a good day to talk about Teddy Bruschi. In his great career, there are a lot of things that you could reference as being quintessential Bruschi moments, whether it be interceptions, resilience, or the iconic three fingers to Robert Kraft. But to me, there is one play in particular that always stood out as the defensive Bruschi play that encompassed all he was great about. I'm not sure if you guys remember, but in Super Bowl 36, there was a play in the middle of the game where Marshall Faulk carried the ball outside, and suddenly he had Bruschi one-on-one in space, and it looked like a certainty that Faulk would turn it into a big game and maybe a game changer. Suddenly, Bruschi broke down in open space and read Faulk's cut and stuffed him for almost no gain. The Rams ended up not scoring on the drive, and we know how the game turned out. To me, that play was everything that made Teddy Bruschi such a great Patriot, and it is the one play that will always stick out in my mind as the essence of Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah, I don't recall.
I don't remember that play.
I was thinking about, you know, kind of what makes Bruschi great, you know, as a great Patriot. And I think that, you know, when these guys go from college to pro, you know, all of a sudden the game that they played becomes a job. And, you know, so you have to take it to that next level. But I think there's a level beyond that, that certain players who just understand the game so well and have a knack for making plays, they take that job back to a game because, you know, there's such a joy of playing and an instinctiveness where they don't have to think every minute. It's not such a chore. It's not a job. It goes back to a game. And I think when you can do that, I think Bruschi's in that level where he's one of those guys that take that job and make it a game again just because he understands it so well and he's having so much fun out there. And I think that's that next level.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. I think that's a good point. He always played with such enthusiasm that he didn't.
And when you understand it, you can. You're not so worried about it.
You're not
things.
Thinking too much and being so serious. You're enjoying the moment. You're playing instinctively rather than cerebral. I think
especially when
point.
You're changing the defense to what you want to run.
Yeah, we learned yesterday how lazy Ty Law was.
Give your cornerback a break out there.
That was funny.
I think the one play that I
and the
think
way
of,
he told it and when he said, like, who changed the play? Yeah. Bruschi did. Oh, okay. Good job, Teddy. Yeah, nice Ty Law was like, son of a. If that was me, I'd be out of here.
The one play I think of with Bruschi is the Dominique Rhodes fumble strip.
Yeah,
me too.
That's the one I think of that epitomizes just what Bruschi was as a player, you know? That opportunistic, aggressive,
wanting
underdog,
it more.
Wanting it more kind of thing.
He had the want to and the could.
Oh. I'm just laughing at that.
I'm still wondering what the hell happened to my shirt.
I'm still wondering why Paul left when we were going to talk about Bruschi being the 138th best Patriot of all time.
Phenomenal speech, though, yesterday.
Yeah.
And Dad said, you should be a linebacker. So I got to Arizona.
And I get 52 and a half sacks, more than anybody in the history of the NCAA. Tied Derek Thomas.
I didn't really get that.
What do you mean?
And then I
That's
get drafted.
How he said it. More than anybody in the history of the NCAA, tied Derek Thomas.
Yeah.
Wait,
no,
what?
I think he said nobody in the NCAA has ever had more, accurate.
I thought he said he tied Derek Thomas.
Right. Yeah. Derek Thomas never had more.
Oh, yeah.
That might have been exactly how he said it.
I think that is
right. He had as many as anyone ever did.
Played the position as well as.
Right.
And my dad said, you need to play linebacker.
And I said, no, Bill Parcells, I'm all set there.
Then Bill Parcells calls me. He says, Teddy, We just drafted you. We're going to play you at middle linebacker. And he looks down.
Give my dad a round of applause. It's my guitar teacher out there. I expected the guy to stand up in the car and go, yeah. Bam!
like those two guys on the Geico commercial.
Right, right.
He was more than engaging in his, went a little long, but tremendous.
Yeah.
Tremendously entertaining.
Next year, who was it? Troy Brown, you think?
No. Oh, no. Troy Brown went in last year.
I mean, Rodney Harrison.
You know, there's a lot of good. I think Rodney McGinnis, and Ty Law are all up, I think.
Ty Law. Ooh. Who would you pick?
Ty Law could go on forever if he's there. He's the guy that goes
on
forever.
Did he hurt his chances by what he revealed yesterday?
Nah. I would take Ty Law.
Ty Law could go on forever if you asked him, you know, how the first day of camp went. I can only imagine what he'll be like in that setting.
Now, Law and McGinnis were draft picks, first-round draft picks. So does that give them a step up over Rodney Harrison?
Well, it gives it longevity to me. To me, Ty Law was similar to Rodney, among the best at his position in the game, a Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber, and he was here longer. So to me, big plays, I think they're very similar, and the longevity would put Law, he's a Patriot, his career Patriot, basically, in my mind.
Right. Okay. Justin, sending love from Canada. Love the show and the different personalities you all bring. Firstly, I'm confident this season. Everyone's been hating and saying how the Patriots are screwed, but I'm the only one who's seen talent in these young receivers. And with Brady throwing the ball in a stronger
defense
this year.
That's the part that irritated you, not the part that everybody's saying the Patriots are screwed?
I don't care about that. They do that all the time. But I'm the only one. Do you read clips? Do you listen to the radio? Do you watch TV?
I can see us making another playoff run. Once again, love the show, guys. P.S., I've heard that Gronk is well ahead of where he should be with rehab. Have you guys heard anything different? In my opinion, let him heal completely before even considering bringing him onto the field, even if he has to miss a chunk of the season.
Justin, I send hate to Canada to you.
I'll tell you, Justin, that's not. It's hard. It's hard to get out there on a limb like that. And I have been, because I'm saying 12-4. And Justin's with me. He obviously sees the positives. We're two of the only ones that do. Stick by your guns, Justin, because it's hard when everybody else is saying that you know the team is not going to the playoffs.
Wonder if he has Bruschi in his top 100, Justin, because I know Paul doesn't.
I'm not prepared for that. That's the second time I had a
Paul
correct
once
you.
Again got let his mouth get ahead of his research.
And I said, I'm going to do some research on that. And that's the second time that you've misquoted me, and I'm going to upset about it in a second.
No. You definitely said, and then you backtracked.
I said, I'm going to need to do some research on that.
Your hypothesis
is this all started because I'm tired of people saying that he's the greatest Patriot of all time. I think it's ridiculously disrespectful to a lot of great Patriots.
I'll actually say that he's in the top 50. How's that?
He might end up being.
Well, but I give great Brady credit. I think when he says program, he means Belichick's. He's not talking about the organization.
Is he the best player that came through Belichick's program?
No.
All right, then.
But he wasn't including Tippett and Hannah and Haynes and those guys.
We're all guilty of hyperbole, and I think there's a lot of hyperbole when it comes
to
Teddy Bruschi.
You and Brady both, in your own directions, said more than you really should.
And I said I would do some research on it and figure it out. And I've gone through three letters so far in the all-time roster, and I've come up with 11 guys that are better than Bruschi. This is unbelievable. Did you ever see this thing on ESPN?
Oh, wow.
Watch this.
Somebody should get a life.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And then the last guy dunks it?
That's really nice.
Matt
in San Diego State University.
It's going to sound great on the radio, too.
Yeah, watch this.
Right.
Wow. How many takes did that take?
The only thing that took more time than the dead air there was Tebow in a drop back.
Matt says, back in the early 2000s, I got a Patriots shirt that says, offense gets all the glory on the front and defense wins championships on the back. Can I get a refund? Well, Brandon Spikes said early in camp that he believes defense wins championships.
Okay.
So, I agree.
It's good to see him here.
No, with his red shoes and who had the...
Kyle Arrington.
Kyle Arrington had the neon green shoes last night.
Liked them a lot.
Those were bright.
Not sure how they actually fit in with the Patriots color scheme. But
let's see.
Okay, what are we seeing?
Chad says, I think I know why we tried out Tebow.
He's a mobile quarterback, and more offenses use mobile quarterbacks in this era of NFL play. The Patriots are using Tebow to prepare our defense against such big play options.
He's the least mobile quarterback of the mobile quarterbacks. He's a power-running mobile quarterback. He's nothing like RG3 or Russell Wilson or Colin
Well,
Kaepernick.
He might be more like RG3 this year.
No, he's not. RG3 on no ACLs is more athletic than
Tim Tebow. He's going to be wearing a brace all year, so that's going to kind of limit him, don't you think?
No.
No?
But I do think...
Not as limited as Tim Tebow is.
I don't get quite as mad about it as Andy does, but I do think
he's
the
mad.
Notion that, you know, the whole scout team look has been dramatically overblown, because I don't think that Tebow has the skill set to really simulate the zone read looks.
I'm going to take it to the next level.
The athletic,
he's a terrible scout team quarterback
he's a power
because
runner.
He doesn't give a look. He can't run a play.
Yeah, see, again, there's the anger that I was talking about with Andy.
You're right. Well, now you got anger.
I can't necessarily disagree with what you're saying. I'm just not as angry about it as you are.
I'm of the belief they took him off the opportunity reps on the second field because when he did it in OTAs, he didn't run a single play. He had to tuck the ball down and scramble around, and 21 other guys didn't get a look. Only he got a look, the Tebow look. So they had to put Mallet on that side of the field to actually run a freaking play.
Cat in Chicago writes in, my husband is a Colts fan, so I've seen a lot of Dallas Clark over the years. Personally, I think he would be an awful Patriot, and here's why. One,
can't
drops
catch.
Are never his fault. He is one of those guys who throws a fit on the field and complains to the refs, even if no one touched him on a play. He pouts and stomps his feet back to the huddle. Somehow I don't expect that to go over well with Brady.
Okay, so he's an NFL receiver. Next.
Two, at the end of his time...
That's
with
what
the,
they all do.
At the end of his time with the Colts, it seemed like he was scared to get hit. Maybe it was because of his wrist injury he got in 2010, or maybe because he knew he was going to be a free agent and didn't want to take the chance of getting hurt. I didn't see any of his play last year, but it wouldn't surprise me if someone told me that he avoided contact then, too.
That's an issue. If he's coiling over the middle and not willing to take hits.
You mean like Aaron Hernandez?
Yeah.
How could he ever replace Aaron Hernandez?
And that, but you thought
in
that,
Super Bowls.
But you thought that was an issue. See, this is where we get right. back to the whole thing when you.
But if I want to replicate Aaron Hernandez.
It's okay that I speak without thinking and say that there's 100 players better, but you can't speak without thinking saying Aaron Hernandez sucks and now he's gone, so it's a big loss.
Well, no, he sucks.
In my experience, Clark is a whiny little wuss on the field. He had good hands and good route running earlier in his career, but he's 34, not getting any younger. I would prefer the Patriots spending their time on a young developmental guy who is more hungry.
That's what they're doing. Or at least a proven professional guy like Daniel Fales. Big smooth.
But the Clark thing, and Andy and I have been very consistent about this, he doesn't catch the ball very consistently. I don't think he has great hands. For a guy who has a ton of catches on his resume,
right.
I don't think he has great hands.
Like Aaron Hernandez. He's the perfect replicator.
So I'm not overly in favor. And I really think that Fels has done a nice job. I think Hooman has done a really nice job. A little bit surprised by it. I thought Fels had some skills. Hooman, I think, has been more effective as a receiver than I thought he could be. We knew he could do different things in terms of being an H-back type in the backfield, out wide, in line. But we've seen him catch the ball a lot in this camp, too. I don't think they need Dallas Clark.
Okay.
And when they need him, he might be available still. So.
Yeah.
Bob writes in, it's kind of scary with all the season-ending injuries that have already occurred in the NFL camps. Other than Brady, who would be the biggest loss for the Patriots with season-ending injury? Gronk doesn't count. Are you in favor of two preseason games rather than four? Yes, but I'd even go with three. But... besides Gronk or Brady, who would be the
Chandler
the
Jones.
Biggest loss? Jones,
yeah. Tlaib,
Will Fork,
yeah, any of those guys.
You know,
Mayo,
Amendola.
You
know, I mean, they would. Yeah, they would miss McCourty. Even I mean, they have some candidates to be up there, but I think the Brady and Gronk. You know, if they didn't have Gronk at all and they knew he wasn't going to play all year, that wouldn't be. Wouldn't be an encouraging sign.
All right. So what do we got?
Are we done already?
Pretty much. What do we got going for the rest of the day? We got
practice
at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock practice. We'll have a podcast for you roughly quarter of five or so.
So
5 o'clock.
2 to 4:30
ish.
Yeah.
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 And then we'll have a bunch of stuff after that. Training camp podcast, update
Blogs,
from practice,
everything.
Yeah.
Player availability.
Yep. And so then
Hannah Storm. Letting her hair grow a little bit. Like it.
Can you relax?
Big fan of Hannah Storm, Paul is.
I am.
Fan of Storm.
She really recovered nicely from whatever
she
that
is. Fan of the storm.
That burn that she had, yeah. I'm going to roll Dan Hicks someday when I see him.
Who's Dan
Hicks?
You
roll him?
Her husband.
Her ex-husband, right?
No, her husband.
And
why?
Then,
why?
Pretty sure
they got divorced.
Married.
Long time ago.
You might be right, but I think they're still married.
Why? Is he a bad guy?
No. I like Hannah.
So tomorrow there's no media access or practice. So good time to catch up.
Good time to do a dry run of a preseason game with the new talent.
Right?
Yes.
And then Thursday we're back with a 2 o'clock practice, correct?
Yes.
Although they haven't announced
Thursday yet. So.
And they've moved these a little bit.
I'm assuming it's an afternoon practice, but it may not be.
We'll stick with our 11-1, though, just to give us some time.
Because we should have Bill.
Right.
We should can't have take something. The rest of the practices off. He hasn't talked in at that point. Four
Unless they
days.
Change it to 9 a.m. practice.
Then we won't be here at 11.
Yeah, I don't. Right. I would be very surprised if they did that.
Well, just because they've been off. They will have been off for a day, so.
Yeah, I think they like to practice in the afternoon. I think that they practiced in the morning out of necessity, not because of
T-Swizzle?
According
the
to
the Swifties drove him out.
According to Bill, anyway, he said that that's
the
wrong.
Red Tour.
All right, well, we will see you then on Thursday at 11 o'clock. And, of course, a bunch of stuff on Patriots.com. Talk to you then.
Peace.
The legend of the Phoenix. All ends with beginnings.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.